This is a Glass Box Media Podcast.
I was in Corpus Christi and my friend was like, because she knew I was in Texas, she was like, holy shit. And I'm like, oh, I'm Southern. I'm good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, yes.
The only hurricane that found me was little Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
He acts like a fucking hurricane.
What? I want to hear the story again.
Sir Charles Norris.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Are we sharing?
Yes.
Sharing's caring. Oh, okay. Are we recording? That's what's happening.
Yes.
Well, welcome to my worst date. I'm Cassie.
I'm Keegan.
I'm Christina.
That's the quickest we've ever done an intro. Like,
no,
just right off the
top. We started off one time, remember?
Wow. Yeah,
we did it. We did it good.
I'm proud of us. Out of the way. All right,
so
great.
So to catch everybody up to speed, I was in Texas this week, and I was staying at the Hampton Inn, coincidentally right next door to where Selena was shot. So that's a thing that happened. Mm-hmm. That was a yikes. And
is it still a functioning hotel?
Yeah, it is. It's a Knight's Inn now. I don't know what it was at the time. But then my rep, who always, whenever I'm in Corpus Christi, she always likes to show me anything Celine or late related. It's very funny. Like, Corpus is very about, like, they're V about Selena. Like, you can go to HEB and get, like, collector mugs of, like, Selena. Like, but that's, you know, she's from there. So, like, they are, like, they still stand her hard.
Aww.
So it's cool. It's very
same
cool.
Corpus.
Yeah. I know, which is why I texted you guys immediately. I was like, oh my God.
Did we do her for Crazy in Love?
We
no,
did it,
but that's
I don't think that she's Crazy in Love. That her
I mean, she was obsessed
manager
with her.
Was,
yeah. Her manager was obsessed with her.
Or was she obsessed with her money?
Well, no, I think she was obsessed with her.
Okay.
In the
I think there's a deep dive here to be had.
I think it's both.
I think there's a deep dive.
All right,
here.
We'll do that. We'll do that one
that's
in the future.
I feel like you should do that one. You were.
I fucking love Selena, man. She was everything to me when I was a kid.
So, Monday evening, just finished class, went outside, went out to like the backside of my hotel to smoke a cigarette, like just standing outside the door in the little smoker section. And I feel a little tap at the bottom of my leg. And I was like, the fuck is that? So I look down and it's a baby kitten. The babiest of baby kittens.
I am the most jealous of you.
And
like, oh my God.
He is a dirt storm. So I bend down because I'm like, I'm going to fucking pet this kitty.
Yeah.
And then he crawls up in my lap and I was like, so I.
The little pig pen of cats. He's like,
he's got like a dust storm around him.
He
100% was pig pen of cats. He really was. So he is like sitting there and he's like, you know, giving me some talk. And I was like, right on, well, I gotta go. And he was
deuces,
like,
hope you can make
like,
it out here.
I would like to follow you. And I was like, I may or may not leave the door open a little longer than normal while I'm walking through here and let him walk into the hotel with me. And so I went to the front desk though. And I was like, hey, I was like, you guys have like this kitten out here. And he, you know, I'm kind of worried about him, whatever.
Yeah, He's tiny.
A little baby.
Yeah, he couldn't be more than 4 or 5 weeks old. Like, he's teensy tiny.
Yeah.
And so we're the guy at the front desk who random, like he just was the, I don't even know how to explain him. He was like informer, like Snow. that's like what he reminded me of. It was like a 90s white rapper.
That's awesome.
So, but who at the time, like
that's
when I
so specific that I know exactly what you're talking about.
I know.
But
I
you
see
guys
him.
Are picturing him, yes. Right?
Yeah. Got him in my head.
Like when I first saw him, I was like, oh, he beats his girlfriend.
Oh no.
But then when I brought the cat in, he was so fucking like.
I love watching tough people
kitty.
Just melt.
Right,
like
right.
When they see little baby
and then I was
animals.
Like, okay, maybe you don't. You know?
Yeah.
I was like, I misjudged you.
Yeah.
You are. And so I was like, okay. I was like, is there like a shelter nearby? Is there a place we can take him? And he's looking up online. He's like everything's closed. He tried calling one place and he's like, they're closed. And he tried to call this emergency place and it was like, call 911. And they were like, he's like, I don't think we
for
should
a kitten
do that. Yeah, I don't think we should do that.
Why?
And then he was like, well, there's this one place that is open. He goes, but you cannot take him there. He's like, this place is fucking horrible. It's disgusting. He'd be safer outside. Like,
aww.
It's so bad. Like, he's like, do not take him. And I was like, okay, well, cool, I'm gonna go up to my room and leave this kitten with you. And I kind of like just glided away. And then I texted my husband a picture earlier, and he was like, oh, you know, this and that. And I was like, he's like, bring the cat home. And I was like, I'm not fucking bringing this cat home. I was like, I have to work. I'm going to be like in and out of salons. I'm like, I can't just be traipsing a cat around. Like, yeah. I have fucking work to do. And he goes, his text back was, figure it out. I was like, what? Ooh. And he's like, I was like, wow. And
you know,
he goes,
I feel like
I softened
Chris,
it with a smiley face.
I feel like Chris doesn't often put his foot down.
No.
So he's just like, no, I want that cat.
He's like, figure you it will out. Bring the cat home. That's awesome. So I did. And I went and bought like a cat carrier, and it was a fucking ordeal. I ain't gonna play. Like, it was a fucking ordeal. Like, I
hashtag
couldn't travel.
Worth it.
Yeah, hashtag worth it. He's
yeah, because he
on here,
is
speak of the devil.
Such a little cutie. You can hear him.
I hope you can hear him.
Oh, what you doing, bub?
He is so little.
I hope you can hear him.
I literally want to Lenny his head off. I really do. Of mice and men,
I know.
Want to squeeze
he's
him.
He's just so cute. It makes me mad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so anyway, he is Sir Charles Norris Paxton.
A.K.A. Chuck AKA Norris.
Chuck Norris.
Yeah. Little Chucky.
Little Chuck.
Yes.
I call him Charlie.
Cute. I have some real talk. Speaking of Anthony, we went out last night, and I was shocked to learn how upset Anthony is about my dating situation.
He is very upset about it. Yes.
Let me know. He was like very vocal about how upset he is at
like,
my dating situation.
These men, you deserve so much better than these men that you're dating. It's not okay. Oh. Like, you're such a wonderful person.
Yeah.
He was like, I don't know if he was mad or sad.
Yeah. Like, I know. I was just stunned. It was like his whole thing. I mean, I guess I was kind of thinking about it on the drive over, because this is going to be episode 51, so we're almost a year.
Oh my god,
listeners,
that's crazy!
Into and I've shared my own dating stories, but I haven't really like done a deep dive with listeners about a lot of like back and forth and everything like that. But I haven't really dated anyone
right
in a year, and so you know, Anthony's talk kind of got under my skin a little bit, not in like a bad way, but I was just like, he is right. Like, I am a catch. And it just kind of bummed me out, because I'm like, I have been like talking to a bunch of losers, and I can't even get a loser to like me. So like, what the fuck?
That's probably a good thing though.
Yeah.
I think the way you got to look at it is this: first and foremost, a year is still a healing process.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you, throughout all of this, if the right guy came along, he could have slapped you across the face, and it would have been like, nope.
Can't, yeah.
I mean, not literally slapped you across the face.
But, you know, but I mean, that's exactly right. It's like, yeah, it's been a year, but it's only been a couple of months that you've been willing to really like
open yourself up.
Right. You weren't looking for anybody to be serious with, and so you closed yourself off to a lot of options deliberately
right
in the beginning. So I mean, yeah, it's like been a year, but not really,
right?
You know,
grand scheme of things, in the big picture of this, I mean, divorce takes a long time. Finalization is still coming along. You know what I mean? Like, it takes a long time. And as you're going through that, you're going through a healing process. And yeah, you're going to go through some duds. It's good that you've gone. It's actually, I feel like, probably better that you've gone through a bunch of this, so that you can, when you are at this place where you're starting to now become ready,
right,
you A, know what you're looking for. B, you're going to be more open to it. And C, totally past that old shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you've worked through your baggage and some of this. It is a process. And I think that there's some, you know, we've talked about this before. It's important to forgive yourself when a relationship goes wrong.
Right.
You know, I think we do a lot of forgiving the other person.
Yeah.
And we forget that sometimes it's about forgiving ourselves during that process that we have to do.
Yeah. We talked about that last night too, because Anthony was like really upset about the way that my relationship like ended and that sort of thing. And like, and we've had other relationships within the group and recently. So we've kind of talked about how like, that there is no side to be on.
Right.
That like truly like when a relationship,
two people are just not compatible.
Exactly.
And it doesn't mean, you know, and sometimes two people bring out the worst in each other. And so even when they're behaving badly, and you can objectively be like, this person behaved badly, it doesn't mean they're a bad person. It means they were in a toxic situation a lot of the times.
And a lot of times you do things, behaviors in those situations that you wouldn't maybe normally do.
That's right. I mean, I was a different person in my last relationship.
Oh, I see that.
Because that environment wasn't good for me. It brought out like the worst parts of myself. And it doesn't make me a bad person or him a bad person. Sure. It means that we should not have been together.
Yeah. You know? You guys, like, I told you about my shame receipt when I was with my high school boyfriend. I was just in a different place personally, even myself. Like, I wasn't over like just being out of high school and always kind of feeling like that negative energy around myself, probably dealing with anxieties and stuff that I wasn't ready to face for, you know.
Right.
Full on. And, you know, like, are you talking about me? You know what I mean? Like that kind of stupid shit where you're just like, oh, I just look back and literally wake up and cringe. Yeah. You know, but that's it. It's time and place. I do believe that there's something to be said about like just even where who you are in that time. I know that when we went through, like, everybody kind of goes through that premarital counseling thingy before you get married kind of stuff. And Chris and I, when we talked to Rev about like, you know, some of the stuff, he's like, it's important to think about growing together. He goes, when Rev was talking about meeting his wife, who you know, Sam.
Yeah.
And he was like, I was a rock star. You know, like I was playing rock music. I was doing this stuff. And now I'm a fucking reverend. Like, how do you come from point A to point B? And it's about growing together.
Yeah.
And not everybody grows together. Some people grow apart. And
that's what happened with mine, you know? God, fucking 19, 20 is very different from 30, you know? You just become different people. But where I'm at right now, you know, I actually spent a few hours the other day actually journaling and just writing down, like, it felt really weird to do and like new agey, but I wrote down exactly what I'm looking for. It's on a piece of paper. It's out there, like, in the universe. Like, I wrote down list of qualities. You know, I've now been dating for about a year and a half. I've met some really cool people. I've met some really fucking weird people, and it's helped me, I guess, see like the things that I consider important, the things that turn me on, the things that turn me fucking off. Right. Someone's like, yeah, I don't like to read. I'm like, that's a turnoff. Yeah. So,
and you know what though? I think that you recently had that experience where like there was a couple of things that, and I don't want to call them red flags because I don't think they make this person a bad person. It's just that for you, like you said, it's a turnoff. And you're kind of like, well, you know, but and I'm like, if you're already feeling that way, that's not going to change.
Right.
Like
that's only going to get more.
Yeah. You just let that go. Like there's no sense in like carrying on in a place where you're like, there's a dead end here. This isn't going to,
Right. I mean, I think it's also like, is it worth it to you or not? Like, is the person worth it to you or not? Because there is a certain amount of one compromising that does happen in any relationship. You're not ever going to meet somebody who's just like, you tick all of my yes boxes and none of my no boxes.
Yeah,
like, that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
So you have to weigh, like, is it worth, do the no's outweigh, the bad outweigh the good or vice versa? Like, you have to kind of like make that determination and also allow for the fact that like people will change and you, not in that like, you can change him, like not like that, but like being around Anthony has changed me in ways,
right?
Sure,
you know, like for the better and in ways that make me more compatible with him, just like from the nature of like our relationship and spending time together. So I think what it comes down to is like having to determine, like, you don't want to write someone off immediately all the time because there is one thing that you don't love.
Sure.
But you have to ride that line between also not compromising what you want and who you are. You have to just kind of weigh those. And that can be a really murky line. Yeah. And then you get like too far in and like it's a difficult kind of path to navigate.
Yeah.
But
Chris still doesn't squeeze the tube of toothpaste from the top. He'll go for the middle, and it still pisses me off. My mom always used to say to me that one little thing that'll drive you crazy, like, it, you know, it's just like, oh, that's annoying, will literally drive you fucking nuts at some point in your relationship once you get really deep into it. I mean, at this point now, if it's really just squeezing the toothpaste from the middle, I can let that go. Like,
I think we'll let that slide.
Yeah.
The good outweighs the bad in that way. But I mean, it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
Like, it's just hard to tell, like, what is going to make you the most crazy.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's a difficult thing.
With like zero creative hobbies.
Sure.
Nothing going on. Like,
well, that's what we talk about. Deal breakers. There are there are certain things that are like for you. It's important to know, like, what can I not get beyond? Like, it does not matter how great you are in these other ways. If you don't have these attributes, or if you do have these negative attributes, I cannot get beyond it. Like,
right.
Period. Sure. You know, it's good to know that about yourself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've talked deal breakers on this podcast so many times, but I do agree with you. I think it's funny that you said that when you were talking about this person not reading, like, that's, it kind of is. Like, I didn't realize until, like, you brought it up, and I was like, yeah, that would actually bother me that somebody, I mean, and that's just a personal thing. That means nothing to a lot of people. There's a lot of people who don't read and don't enjoy it.
And that's totally fine. Cool. They can go off and be illiterate with each other. That's well, amazing.
But there's a dog for every bed.
Exactly. I think it's also like, it's also that I know who you're talking about. And like, this person has no other creative pursuits.
Zero.
It might be different if like, he's like, ah, I don't enjoy reading. It makes me sleepy or like whatever. Yeah. But I paint, or like I, you know, do something else. I have a band.
I have an outlet.
I have an outlet. I have some, I do something.
I do things.
I do something. I do like, something. You know what I mean?
I live a life, but yeah, I'm like,
because I know people, Anthony doesn't read because it makes him sleepy. He doesn't like to read, but you know, he listens to books on Audible, and he's got hobbies,
and he plays soccer like every day.
He's like, at soccer right now. In fact,
not surprising.
So it's just, that would be a deal breaker for me. Not that you don't read, but that you have nothing going on. I cannot be your activity.
Yeah.
Like,
because
I'm just like, I don't.
That's what it makes me nervous. Right. Is that, like, you know, I have so much stuff going on in my life, and I want someone else that also has a lot of stuff going on in their life. And then we can come together and talk about it and be excited to live life, not just like,
right.
I don't know, like, not having hobbies or something like that makes me nervous.
Me,
it makes me feel like it's going to be a, like a codependent thing.
Yes. And you know what I mean? Like, 100%. I need alone time. Like, I need you to be doing something that, like, one night a week I'm by myself in this apartment. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
well, you enjoy my job.
Like, well, that might be too much.
You're, but, like, extreme.
I don't want to shut myself off completely. But I need for us to be having separate, for me, having the podcasts that are like something that's completely my own, separate of stuff that Anthony does, and Anthony being in soccer, which is something that's completely his own.
Sure.
It, like, I think it helps us.
It's good.
Yeah.
Like, it's good.
It's good. It's a good thing.
Yeah. It's so funny because even when I'm on the road, Chris and I are not phone talkers at all. Like, we'll text possibly once or twice through the week. Like, we're just not people who, A, feel like we have to constantly check in with each other, but B, unless something exciting happens, I'm like, it's been cool to listen to you breathe on the phone. Like, I'm just like, oh, you know.
So, how was your day?
Yeah.
it was the same as every other day.
Yeah, small talk
traffic
is so lame.
It was like, that's how I feel. Like, and I think Chris and I are both in the same boat. We talked 2 to 3 times every day this week because of the fucking kitten.
Yeah.
So, and between FaceTiming and talking on the phone, we were on the phone like every fucking day. It was so weird.
Can you put the cat on the phone?
Yeah. I know you're not calling for me. Here he is.
Yeah, but it's amazing because you guys are really strong, and that works for you. And that's what I'm saying is that, like, you know, I feel like this year has taught me that, like, you find what works for you.
Absolutely.
Like, for me, I'm like, I know what kind of communication style I'm looking for. I know what I need. I know what I want.
And sometimes it's just a matter of it feels right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's part of it too, like, you're like, this communication style is the only way that I like. And then somebody comes along with something new and you're like, okay, but that works too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think you're just coming to this place where you're like open.
Speaking to compromises, you know, whenever I was talking about, like, yeah, sometimes you need to like compromise. You also don't need to force anything either. Like, if it doesn't feel right, then it's like, then it's just not, like, you know, and that's okay too. And you don't have to rationalize, like, it's not right because of X, Y, Z. It's just not right. And you don't need to like force it.
Yeah.
You know,
that's how I feel about polo.
That was the other thing that I was thinking, like, I'm excited to take the next step beyond just like first or second date. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the fun part. The fun part of being excited to learn who someone is and that little like line between exhilaration and anxiety that you get when you really, really like someone.
Right.
And I haven't had that feeling in a really, really long time.
Right. Yeah, no, or is the guy going to show up on the third date with a bag of cocaine?
Oh my God.
I mean, that's a different level. That's a different level.
Oh,
I
know. Oh, listeners.
Oh my God. Yes, that happened. Yeah. I'll save a couple of those for shorties.
Okay. Sorry.
For sure.
You can cut that out if you want.
That's fine. Well, so, we should get into Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Well, I mean, can we, I know this is a long intro, but I feel like we need to talk about Moby.
Oh God.
We need to talk about Moby.
And Natalie Portman. That fucking photo made me laugh so hard. Because
like,
I was like,
this is your receipts, sir?
This is what you want to put out in the world. Because I wanted to zoom in on her face.
Her eyes.
And I was like, I've fucking been you, girl. Every woman
in the world is like, I know that face.
That's why I want to talk about Moby, is because I'm just like,
God.
Every girl in the world, I'm like, Moby, you are doing the most to try and convince us that like you had this relationship. Meanwhile, every girl who has ever existed at 18 in the world knows that this is not the case.
No.
And, you know, believes Natalie Portman, because we're like, yeah, we all had that fucking creepy guy who was like, 39 who was like, I want to date you.
Yeah. And you're like 18.
And you're like,
no thanks.
Please
dude.
Put your that shirt on so before you funny. Take a picture next to me, you fucking creep.
Like, God. So gross.
We've all been there.
And he's like doubling down. Okay, so listeners, if you don't know what happened, this is what happened. So Moby wrote a book where there's some creepy passages.
P.S. Did anyone ask for Moby's book?
No one.
The book literally that no
literally
one.
Zero nobody. People. Yeah.
Moby. Here's my autobiography. Yeah.
I can't wait to write that meme.
Exactly. That's a great meme.
That's a good one.
So he wrote an autobiography or memoir or fucking whatever and why. And there is like an unnecessary chapter about like how he dated Natalie Portman. She had just turned 20 and they would like cuddle and hold hands and it was really sweet, and he didn't want to hurt her or like whatever. And Natalie Portman was like, first of all, I literally just turned 18. I gross. Was 17. I just turned 18.
Gross.
Was right out of high school, went to one Moby show, met up with him behind like backstage, and all I remember is an older man, me being 18 and right out of high school, and an older man being creepy with me. That's what I remember. Yeah. And so then fucking Moby took to Instagram, like he couldn't just let,
like you said, doubling down.
A sleeping dog lie. He took to Instagram and was like, I don't know why she's denying this. This totally happened. Here's a picture of us together. And this girl.
Oh,
Natalie's face is just like, I want to do one of those memes where like you start out wide and then you just get just closer and closer on her face, because her eyes are like, save me.
Yeah, exactly.
And he is shirtless and doing the creepiest, cringiest smile in this picture.
It's so gross.
And that's your meme. You're going to make that one.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes.
Yeah, and like the fact that like you would double down on this and also not address the fact that she was a teenager and you were like 30 fucking five.
Exactly. And he also had this like weird ass chapter on Lana Del Rey.
Oh,
too.
Creepy.
Word.
So
it was creepy.
Gross.
Yeah.
I just think that's gross. I'm like,
unnecessary.
And unnecessary. Why?
Even if it did happen, why would you include this in your fucking autobiography?
Why?
Except for that you just want fame by proxy.
Exactly. Like, exactly. He's so irrelevant.
He's so past tense at this point. Like nobody gives two shits
even
about
done?
Him. He's like, hey, here's two people who are like actually doing things that are famous now. I used to know them.
Maybe I fucked them.
Maybe I didn't. You don't know.
Oh, creepy.
Judge for
so
yourself.
So gross.
I think since we're talking about DJs, though, I think we should do a DJ.
Oh, right. Okay. Okay.
Sure.
I got a lot of DJ. You know, I like that shit.
You do.
But you know who I think is super hot? Calvin Harris.
Ooh, he is hot.
He is hot.
Oh my gosh.
Did I just take the one you guys all know?
No, I know.
DJ Shadow. He's not hot though.
I don't know who
not
that
anymore.
Is.
Okay.
Ooh, you know who I'm also thinking of? Dude that did the thing with
Girl
the
Talk?
Shins. Oh, fuck yeah, Girl Talk. Also RJD2. Yeah, Broken Bells. What's his name? The mouse.
Oh my God, he's kind of cute.
The fuck is his name?
Look,
oh yeah, Danger Mouse. Faux show.
Oh yeah.
Four. Okay. Yes. All right. Yeah, that's one of them.
Okay.
Okay. And so we got Harris. Danger Mouse, Calvin Harris, and who else? Oh, Girl Talk. Look up Girl Talk. What's his name?
Girl Talk? I don't know what his name is. What about RJD2? Chris went to school with him.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Brilliant.
And I think he's kind of cute.
I'm looking up Girl Talk, though.
Okay. I'm going to look up RJD2.
He's cute. Because I think he's a nerd. I think Girl Talk guy like found a cure to cancer or something, too.
What?
Yeah.
He's cute. A lot of headbands and shirtless pictures, which I'm like,
oh, my God. If I've found Christina's match, holy shit.
What?
Christina, if that's not your match.
Who the fuck is that?
RJD2, dude.
Okay, yeah. No, I want that.
Dude.
I want to go to there.
He is... Oh, he's just the right amount of nerdy.
I want to go to there.
Okay.
This picture is not good, but it is just the funniest thing.
I mean,
thing.
He is kind of, yeah. That's kind of my type.
It is. Okay.
Well, Chris went to school with him. Make it happen.
They went to school together. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Have you met my friend Christina? Yeah, you fucking laid into Anthony last night, too. I don't know if you remember.
Ooh, about to get hot in here. Spicy.
She did, because Anthony was going off on, like, why are you dating, like, online, blah, blah, blah. And Keegan's like, why do you think I'm constantly trying to get you to bring your soccer guys?
So yeah, I know.
She, like, fucking, she's, like, all the time. Week. Every
I'm
week.
Like, every like, week, I'm
have
like,
have you met my friend Christina?
I'm like, you know what? At this point, just give me their fucking numbers. I'll do it.
Yeah. Yeah, because Keegan's like, what are you talking about? Like, this is why I'm, like, constantly trying to blah, blah, blah. Because he's, like, laying in, like, why are you dating, like, online? These people are, like,
I'm just
losers,
like, you,
and blah, blah, blah.
You cannot like, judge, I, like, if you...
Where are the single guys at?
We cannot judge me and Cassie,
oh, no, no,
and
no.
Neither can Anthony, because all of us fucking dated before online dating was a thing.
Right.
And so we have
no
conception.
I mean,
no it was
starting out, but I just never went
it's
there. It was
easy,
too soon.
It's easy for us to say, like, oh, you should just meet somebody in real life, because we did.
Yeah, really?
But, like... That's not how,
not how
people
it
do it
That's
anymore.
That's not how this works.
It's just
not
how any of this works. It's just not how people do it anymore. It's like people met in real life because they had no other options. Now people have other options, so they're just like, nah.
Yeah,
people at bars. Yeah. Like, yeah, my mom and my stepdad met at a club. Like,
also,
they met
let's
at
be
a club.
Honest, but we're all suspect about that shit anymore, too. We all know about Ted Bundy now.
Yeah, now, you
know
what yeah, I mean? Like, now we're just like,
eyes wide open.
I don't want to go home with you if I met you at a bar. You know, I might take your number. I mean, Ben and Vera met at Booty. Like, you can take a number
it can happen
and call them later, but it's just, it doesn't happen as much anymore, and it's really hard as an adult to make friendships, like, let alone, you know, you have to be involved in, like, activities in order to meet someone organically. Like, that's what you have to be doing. You have to be in a play, you have to be playing soccer, you gotta be
damn it,
you know,
to play fucking soccer.
I don't want to.
Bless America.
God bless America. All right, so fuck, marry, kill.
DJs. RJD2. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Danger Mouse. Calvin Harris.
Ooh.
Okay.
This is hard. This is really hard.
Damn, this is hard, actually. This is harder than I thought it would be. Okay. I think I'm going to fuck Calvin Harris.
Okay. Uh-huh.
I am going to marry Danger Mouse because I fucking respect his talent so
and
hard. There's not shit that he's done that I'm like not about.
That man exactly. is good looking too.
He's good looking. He's got a musical intelligence that I'm really here for. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to kill RJD2. Unfortunately, he's super hot and I dig his music. It's just that when I'm comparing him to like, who do I want to fucking marry? I got Calvin Harris and I think I would. Yeah, I'm gonna ride that.
This is the reason why we talked last week. It's like different tastes in guys.
There you go.
I'm gonna fuck RJT2.
Okay,
that picture. I was like, that's my type. Yeah. I want that. I want to go to there. So I'm doing that. I'm gonna let.
And he's from Columbus. So.
We'll have stuff to talk about. And I'm gonna marry Danger Mouse as well. I fucking love Broken Bells.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yep. I love Broken Bells. Again, there's like not a lot that he's done that I'm not down for.
Yep.
I'm going to let Calvin Harris go.
Oh.
He's cute, but I'm not.
Just not there for
not,
it.
Not there for it.
You're not Vegas DJ.
I'm not Vegas DJ for show.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. I am going to do the same thing as Cassie. I am going to marry. We're all marrying Danger Mouse. We're just doing that. I am going to fuck Calvin Harris, not for any real reason. I mean, he is good looking and, you know, well, that's fine. He's fine. Like,
this is fine.
Everything about Calvin Harris is just like, okay. I mean, he's British, isn't he?
I think so.
Yeah. So that's cool.
That accent.
But you got that nice deep Columbus, Ohio accent coming out.
I mean,
can I have a pop?
basically the same thing. Yeah, all those flat E's.
Yeah.
So I am. Yeah. I mean, Calvin Harris is pretty like white bread for me. I mean, he's very unoffensive. Yeah. Do you know? But I mean, like, so yeah,
This is fine.
This is fine. Yeah, that'll be fun. Yeah, I'll fuck Calvin Harris. And I don't know anything about
RJD2.
RJD2. I'd never listened to his music.
I know, I guarantee a song.
And he looks pretty white bread to me too. So
he is.
I'm just going to go with the British white bread.
Yeah.
To fuck. I mean, no offense to him.
Exactly. If they're RJD2. Both Brit or, white bread. Got to get that accent.
I mean, yeah, because Danger Mouse has got like a little something
he's
going
got swag.
On.
Yeah,
he's got like, I like his style.
Yeah.
You know,
he's got good. Yeah, I just mm-hmm. yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's
yeah.
talented.
He's cool.
I'm gonna nail that down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lock it in.
This is perfect to chat about since we've been dying to go out dancing.
We need to go dancing.
I
like,
want
to
dance right now.
So bad.
Yes.
Oh my god.
I mean,
so
like,
bad.
If we found something tonight. I'm not going to say no.
Wouldn't say no.
Wouldn't say
I got no.
no
plans. So
I got no plans.
I will do some Googling when we leave here.
All right. Excellent. All right. Well, should we take five and come back with stories?
Yes, let's do it. And we're back.
Yes.
We're back with wine because it is National Wine Day. International Wine Day.
Apparently
it's wine
National
day.
Wine Day.
Well, okay.
I mean.
Every day is Wine Day.
I know. I've been celebrating for
years and years and years. So cheers on that. I get to go first because I have the crazy in love.
Can we talk about how this is called Ponzi Vineyards and that makes me nervous?
It's a scheme.
Hilarious. It's a scheme.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a red I tried by them too that I didn't really care for. So
yeah.
Guess they're not giving us any money. So there you go. And also, yeah, thank you for listening to the dulcet tones of my allergy voice. So my apologies to listeners.
Girl, my voice is annoying all the time anyway.
So like, I mean, mine's super husky.
It's kinda, you got kind of that smelly cat, sexy, yeah,
I know,
voice.
I know. That's so cute.
Smelly cat voice.
Babies.
Yes. So, okay. We got this through our website. She says, "Hey, ladies, love your podcast. It makes my morning runs a lot more bearable to take you guys along with me." Oh my God, actually take me with you, because I legit need to run.
Yes.
I went on two jogs last week,
which for me, listen, my Anthony, I think about fainted when I told him. I was like, I went on a jog this morning. He's like, what have you done with my fiance? But seriously, two jogs, and then like the next day after that, I'm like, my legs are so sore.
You're like, I need
a day of rest.
Okay, she says, I don't know if you actually want them, but I figured I'd share my worst roommate story.
Always.
Yes.
Because I'm sure this is another one of those things that we've all had. And it's really, it is a roommate story, but it's kind of a date story too.
Okay.
So you'll get to see how it links
layers,
together.
Layers.
The roommate I had at the time was moving out and I needed to find someone else to move in or get an apartment with because I couldn't afford rent on my own. Get it. Totally. I sent out a Facebook post asking if anyone needed a roommate, and one of my friends tagged her friend, Casey, in the message, and she ended up DMing me. I'd hung out with her a few times, but I didn't know her super well, and I'd rather have someone I kind of know move into my apartment than find a stranger off Craigslist and trust them with my life, because that's how you get datelined. And no thanks.
Right.
Fucking men.
Who wants to live with... That's why we just did single white female.
That's, you know,
yep. Right. Mm-hmm. That's don't put out that personal ad.
So Casey moved in and everything was fine. It wasn't great. She kind of annoyed me and needed a bizarre amount of attention.
That's exactly right.
But we hung out together and we were having fun. She never cooked, cleaned, bought any groceries, or did any housework at all. She literally just laid around watching Sex in the City all day, eating takeout.
Relatable, though.
I know. We've all been there.
I mean, we really have.
She didn't drink, but always insisted that we go to bars, which I found weird, but I knew she was looking for dudes, so it seemed like the easiest place to find them.
But yes. If you don't, I mean, it's true, but if you don't drink, do you really want to find your boyfriend in a bar? That seems like a...
Probably not, because then she started dating this guy she met who was in the military, and thought that the government was trying to control his thoughts and had people following him.
Oh. Cool.
He wore a tinfoil hat and everything.
Sir.
I honestly did not know this was a thing people ever actually did.
I need somebody to talk about deal breakers, first of all. You bust out that
tinfoil hat.
That tinfoil hat. We are,
deal breaker, huh?
We yeah. are done. You're leaving, on, right? Immediately, take, if not sooner. Yeah. But also, I need somebody with experience in this. Maybe we should ask the Keep It Weird girls. They'd probably know. What is it supposed to do? I don't believe that it's...
So it blocks like how? Antenna. No, it doesn't. Like, but if you're, if in your mind, like you're think you think people are reading your thoughts, the idea is that something like a tinfoil hat would block that.
I need the science like behind that though. Like,
I'm sure
why?
There is no science behind it. Just like there's no science behind somebody actually reading your mind.
But like, here's the thing. I understand. I get this. I get it. I understand that this is not a situation irrational. That would really happen. But, but if I was someone who believed this, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Whenever, do you remember when you had like bunny ear antenna?
Yeah.
And if weren't getting good reception, you'd put tinfoil on it
and marry them.
And it would like, it would get you better reception.
Yeah.
So, I mean, don't you think it would be more conducive to allowing reception to your thoughts if you put tinfoil on your head?
Oh my God, dude. Oh my there God. Are like,
you just ruined so many lives right now.
Crazy people that are listening to this podcast that like literally just took their tinfoil hats off and are like, Keegan can't. Speaks the
I'm
truth.
I'm just saying, I do a little research if you're trying to block your thoughts being read. Anyway.
Tune in next week when we talk about the flat earth. Anyways. Okay, so she dated him for about 3 months.
That's too long. That's 3 months too many.
3 months. Oh my God, that's 2 months and 20 days too
exactly,
long.
Yeah.
Oh my God. She starts then serial dating guys, literally 5 to 7 dates every week. Can you imagine? Here's why I think fuck I live on my own, because no judgment. I fucking serial dated like, I don't know, 7, 8 happens. Months ago where it was
you,
like
you had a period of time where
5 to 7 dates a week.
Bam,
I was
bam,
like,
bam.
Is my part-time job now?
Yeah.
This is what
you're,
we
you're
play
You're double
for.
Booking. You're fucking penciling shit in.
Like, I know. I'm like, I have coffee at 4 and I have happy hour at 6 and late night drinks at 8 and let's get her done. It's Wednesday night.
Appointments.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, not a big deal unless you're bringing all those people home and you live with a roommate who is like, that's
you
got to
be
now.
Considerate of your roommate.
That's tough. Like,
because you're not just opening your apartment up to strange men that
whatever
you maybe don't know.
Serial killer.
Yeah.
Right. You're opening your roommate to that.
So yeah, she
She's
started.
Like, bitch, I didn't sign up for this.
She started bringing these guys back to her apartment. She says again, as long as you're being safe, I'm not going to judge you. Except she wasn't being safe, and she would tell me in explicit detail about all the things they did and how she didn't use protection.
No, I did not sign up for this.
No. I didn't even need her to tell me what they did because I could hear the loud sex she was having since she was one room over from me. Ugh. And she'd take them into the shower with her the next morning, despite the fact that we only had one bathroom and I needed to get ready for work.
No, no. Get the fuck
You're sitting on
out.
Your bed with your compact.
You're like, and then meanwhile, it's like, fuck me harder.
And then you have to into that fucking shower after that too.
Oh God, no!
You're just looking at it like,
did you use that after shower spray?
I know.
You
dumping
did it.
Bleach in it before you get in.
Scrubbing bubbles, please. Scrubbing bubbles.
That's all I'm asking.
If you could just a thin layer of Clorox,
just everywhere.
She just like gets up in the morning and just like puts in earplugs. She's like, oh God.
You can gargle Clorox and not speak to me with that mouth.
That would be great. That'd be
great.
Oh my God. And plus like, okay, we're friends and I've told you about like sexcapades that I've had, but I've never been like explicit.
Also too, you're not some random like friend of a friend roommate.
Right.
Yeah, so, that's it's different.
Right, but I would never, I also like do not like throw down on freaking details.
We're the best of friends. I'm expecting more from you. Not gonna lie.
I mean,
if you
want use more detail.
Okay. All right. Well,
but at the same time, we're all old enough that we like back when, you know, you're fucking back when you're 18 or 19 and it's just like, yeah, you're going to hear your friends having sex because everybody's like an inconsiderate asshole. True. But like we're old enough now that like I don't want to. I love you guys. I don't want to hear any of your loud sex noises.
Yeah. I may or may have a shame receipt from that.
Oh, nice. Oh, well, so, oh, I told you mine about camping. Yeah, that's on one of those shorty episodes.
Did I tell you real quickly, because I'll save it for the shorty and give you one of mine. Did I ever tell you guys about not stopping?
No.
Nope.
Oh, right, are we going to have a shame receipt shorty? Just yep. Like double down and we'll all shame receipt it. Anyways, okay. So here's where it gets soups fucked up. And here's where I'm like, fuck you, Casey. So she says, when I started dating my now boyfriend, she invited herself everywhere with us.
Mm-mm. Again,
she invited herself into the
single
bedroom,
white female situation.
Taking a break, in quotes, from dating. So I let her tag along, assuming she was bored. She complained like constantly about them like going out, but and whenever he stayed over, she would come out into the room wearing a see-through nightie, nipples completely exposed, and a thong.
I'm speechless.
I have questions about this.
Shocked, right?
Because
shocked.
Because what's her excuse? Because it's not like anybody is just chilling at home alone in their bedroom, just like, I'm dressed for bed in my PJs. Like, no one wears like a fucking like see-through lingerie and thong to just like just hang out by themselves. Out.
Yeah. And so when I politely asked her to put clothes on, she said, it's my body. I can decide what I do with it.
Okay.
I mean, I really didn't have an argument for that because that's true. And truth be told, I admire her confidence. I work out every day and still wouldn't have the balls to show myself off. But since it was my boyfriend she was showing off to, I was less impressed. Girl, you are so much nicer than I am because yeah. I would have clawed that bitch's eyes out.
Yeah, because she knows
out.
Exactly
she
what
knows
she's
exactly
doing.
What she's fucking doing.
Yeah. And again, like, Sure. I mean, I'm all for body positivity. You do you, girl. If you feel confident, that's fine.
But can you but fucking imagine one of us like no, just like coming in to hang out with Anthony
it's
and you
rude.
In a fucking see-through and a thong? That's
like
gross.
Even if it wasn't
weird.
My boyfriend, it's rude.
It's so
if
fucking
you have
rude.
Anybody over for you to come out like that. Like that yeah. is like that yeah. is rude to your guests.
Yes.
What the fuck
it's
are you doing?
So, it's so awkward.
So inappropriate. Ugh. Oh God! Now I just like you said. Would you imagine like going to Anthony? And, like,
it's
just,
the
like,
worst.
You know what? I have to say, if we were at my house and one of you guys came out like that, I think I would be more confused than anything. I'm like not even mad. I'm just like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Like what's going on? Do you know that you can see through?
Is something happening in your brain that we need to have checked out right now? I'd be worried about you.
Now. Literally, yes. Like insane. So she says, I still had 6 more months in this lease with her, and I did everything I could to avoid her. She came on to my boyfriend several times if I was in the shower or if he was waiting for me to get back. He didn't even want to be around her at all either.
Yeah, that's...
You gotta start going to his place, man.
Yeah, why aren't we going to your place?
Yeah, when the lease was ending, I told her I think it would be best if she moved out, and she lost
I bet.
Her shit.
Yeah, she seems like it.
Yeah. I was at work when she moved out. She took with her all of my face wash and moisturizers. She ripped the pictures we had of the two of us in half.
Oh, my God.
That's a single white female shit.
Listen.
And she knocked all the houseplants off the windowsill so they were laying all over the floor.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
But
that's fucking some juvenile shit right there.
She left her entire purse, wallet, cell phone, and car keys.
She did all that shit and then had to come back and be like, oh, sorry, I need to, would you mind if I just.
So she said, she had to do the walk of shame, knocking on my door to ask for it back. I went and grabbed her bag and handed it to her. She texted me afterwards saying, you do you, sweetheart. At least I tried.
Get the fuck
out. You know what?
Here,
I would have made her
bitch.
Come inside. I would have left the plant.
I wouldn't answer the
petty,
door.
My petty ass, I would have left those fucking plants there and been like, why you're here?
Yeah.
You want to go ahead and pick this shit up?
I wouldn't answer the door. I'd be like,
You got leverage. You can hold that shit hostage.
Literally But she.
Just saying, I'm petty.
I am too. I am petty.
I know. But that fucking oh my God, that made my blood boil. That's like fuck. All that, her doing her stuff and bringing strange guys home. It's very inconsiderate. And yeah. It's very unsafe.
It's unsafe. Yeah. It's unsafe for her roommate. Like, if you want to put yourself in danger, I mean, don't. But like,
That's you.
Like, exactly. You know, and you suffer those consequences on your own. But don't bring unsafe people into my fucking house, my life.
But then you start fucking traipsing around half naked in front of my fucking boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. No.
We got words.
Well, and the moving out stuff is petty AF. Like, yeah. Honestly. And I always wonder about people like this. I'm just like, how are you? It boggles my mind that people exist like this who are this unaware of themselves. Like, right. They clearly are not like self-aware in any way, and it's bizarre to me. Super weird. Okay. All right. I've got a long one. This one came from our website.
Yes.
So a reminder that you guys can submit stories there.
MyWorstDatePodcast.com.
Yes. Okay. So it says, hi, ladies. First off, I just want to say how much I love your podcast.
Yay.
I discovered it a couple weeks ago. That was the most like in sync yay I've ever.
Yeah. Yay. Like they were like, 1, 2, 3,
and yay. Wrap it up. I discovered it a couple weeks ago on a Twitter thread and have been binging it ever since.
Yay.
Yay. Awesome. When I listen to you ladies, it feels like I'm sitting down with the gals and having a gossip session because as I'm listening, I'll wildly gasp or laugh or exclaim, what the fuck? And yes, this warrants odd looks when I'm in public.
I love it.
Good. Exactly.
Yes. I love what you three have created and the safe space you have provided for men and women.
Aww.
I've even gotten my most recent Tinder boy hooked onto the podcast.
Yay! That's a good sign. That really is.
Yeah.
I think it's a good sign.
Educate
those, him. Those who listen to podcasts together stay together? Is that
Especially dating ones where it's just like, listen, I'm going to train you.
Yes.
Educate yourself.
Don't end up on this podcast.
Like, I will write a story about you if you fuck up.
You best come correct.
Warning. Exactly.
After listening to so many stories, I started to think about all the dates I've had and if anything was worthy of being on the pod. And then I remembered Mama's boy. So she said Mama, which means she's either, I think she's Australian, but
this is amazing.
Yes.
I am so excited.
The name appointed to him by my friends and I after a failed first date.
Oh, no.
Okay. She sets the scene a little bit. She was new to dating. She was in a 2-year relationship from the time she was 17 to 19 that was toxic. So she was kind of exploring the dating world and kind of new to it at this point.
Okay.
She says, I matched with this guy on Tinder. After a month of trying to organize a date, we had conflicting schedules. We were finally going to meet on a Monday night. This was decided Sunday morning. So we agreed to Monday night, but he hasn't given me the details of what we are doing and what time.
So fucking annoying.
I know.
I get like so that. Fucking annoyed by people that cannot make a fucking plan.
Yeah.
I
prepare to get pissed.
Not man. Handle that.
Yeah.
I am so scheduled. And Keegs, you're like that too.
Oh, yeah.
Cassie,
oh,
you too. It's like, okay, you
also have a life. You're not my fucking life.
You are not my fucking life. I am not going to go with the flow and maybe like hang out with
you. Yeah, just because you have nothing else to fucking do.
Exactly.
Like, I know
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
Reading this paragraph, I was like, all right, Christina's going to get mad.
We got some trigger words here.
She's going to get mad at this.
And it's because these fucking people that exist in my fucking phone cannot even handle the small task of saying, let's go here at 7 o'clock. Do you know if somebody fucking did that? zero fucking people in a year and a half have made that fucking sentence happen. And that would blow my fucking brains out.
I love that you're this riled up in the sentence of this paragraph because you are about to be
on fire.
I'm so mad.
Fiery hot with anger right now.
You are about to be so mad. So we agreed a Monday night, but he hasn't given me details of what we are doing and what time. He asked, so he was in charge of what we do.
Right.
Sunday rolls into Monday, and I still haven't been told what we're doing.
Oh,
I text
God.
Him.
We're
I
not
text
doing shit.
Him in the morning, asking if we're still on for that night. He replies with, of course, which,
of course.
Bitch, you haven't said anything to me. Why should I assume?
Oh, God, I fucking hate him.
I text him back saying, cool, so what time should I meet you? This was around lunchtime. Now, as someone who prides themselves in their appearance and making a good first impression, I take a long time to get ready for a date and need to mentally and physically prepare.
Girl same.
Same.
I
To go anywhere, really.
I think any woman. I budget
myself like a good couple hours.
Well, also, you want to know in your head, what am I preparing for?
Exactly.
Are we going on a fucking
Do I need to put on a full face or are we going on a hike?
Yeah, exactly. I need to know.
This is important.
Right. Because if I put a full face on for a fucking hike, somebody's getting hurt.
Oh, yeah. We're not going on a hike anymore. No. Yeah. I wasted good makeup on this. No. We're going out now.
That's why we went out last night. Yeah, it's like, because both of you I put on a face and I'm like, I don't care. Like, we're going out.
Also, this, because this is something I can relate to super hard. She says, I also catch public transport, so need extra travel time and time to plan it. I get that. I used to take the bus everywhere.
Yeah. Like, that takes serious planning.
Beholden to a certain schedule.
Absolutely.
You have to like... Mm-hmm. So it gets to 3 p.m., still no word. 4:30 p.m., nothing. So I text him again saying, hey, so I kind of need to know what we're doing and what time to meet you, as I'd normally start getting ready now or even earlier. I get a text back at 5 p.m. Sorry, I was driving back from the Sunshine Coast, so I think they are in Australia. And Jesus, how long do you need to get ready?
Okay, motherfucker.
Okay. None of your fucking business how long it takes me to get ready. Make a fucking plan and step. Oh, my God. Oh,
she's about to leave.
She almost took off the headphones. Fucking table. Oh my God.
She said, I was.
That's so fucking rude.
And she says, I was slightly offended at this, but he is a guy and they generally don't have the prep to prep the way that women do. So I chalk the comment down to him just being unaware and explain why I take so long to get ready. It's 6 p.m. and he still hasn't replied. So I message him again saying, hey, so it's pretty late now. And by the time I get ready, it'll be close to 8. Can we reschedule? I then get a text back immediately. So he had not texted her back for hours. And then when she texted this, all of a sudden you're on your phone saying you don't need to put makeup on or get dressed up. I politely say thank you, but I like to put effort into my appearance, especially for a first date. And he says, so I can't see you because you don't have makeup on. Now, he is an incredibly dry texter. There's no emotion or emojis in his text, and they're so hard to read. But I took this comment to heart and was incredibly annoyed. Maybe an overreaction, but there had been a few comments he'd made in the past similar to this. I once sent a cute lingerie pic and got the reply I got was, and how many other guys did you send this to?
Okay, ooh. Motherfucker. Okay. Here we go.
None of your goddamn business. Do you like it or not?
Do you like it or not? Not. I didn't have to send it to you. You can. Oh my God.
Please immediately delete. That wasn't for you.
Yeah. No,
that's my response. Oh shit. I'm sorry. That wasn't for you.
Throw the whole guy
Throw
away.
Throw the whole man away. Trash. And I was annoyed. So I typed out a paragraph saying that, yes, he was correct and that I will not apologize for liking makeup and making myself look nice because fuck a guy who says you don't need makeup. True, but I want it. So I will wear it. Thank you.
Oh, I'm Thank putting you, you on a pedestal.
That's me
girl.
Too.
That is
me for too.
Exactly. President. I don't fucking wear makeup for men. I wear makeup because I fucking like to wear makeup.
I fucking know.
That's exactly right.
It's 100%. Therapeutic for me to like sit down and do my makeup.
Also,
I enjoy it.
I just like
it.
The way I look.
And I like the way that I look. It makes me feel good. Who cares?
Why can't guys get to the understanding that when a woman looks good, she feels good. Therefore, you're more likely to get fucking laid.
So fucking encourage her to do what the fuck she wants to
Whatever
do that makes her
good.
Happy yep. and that makes her feel good about herself.
Yep.
Boys will learn sometime, I guess.
Maybe. Trash piece of shit human.
This is a long story and I love that you're this mad already.
I'm so angry.
He then replies saying that I need to calm down.
Oh.
And he was just joking and that I was getting worked up at him for no reason. The calm down line.
In our Facebook group.
Do you remember that video I posted that was just like actual footage of a man telling a woman he needs to calm down in an argument and he like put gas on a fire and it like blew up in his face. Yeah. I'm like,
exactly.
That's her. Yeah.
That's right.
Don't tell me how to feel. Don't tell me. Oh,
mm-mm. I hate calm down.
I'm sorry, but how in the fuck is that a joke? Good God. Anyway, this makes me feel horrible because I'm a people pleaser. Hi, Keegan, she says in parentheses.
Oh,
hi. And don't like it when I've offended someone or misunderstood them. I apologize and explain I reacted that way because I couldn't read the tone of the text and it was incredibly dry. He sent a message back apologizing, but it said, I'm sorry you felt that way.
Okay.
That's not an apology.
It's not, a fucking apology ever.
Okay. Me being the idiot, red flag, annoying pushover I am, I rescheduled a date with him for Tuesday night. I sent a text before I go to bed asking what we will do and what time. Sound familiar? And in the morning, I get a reply saying, I don't care what we do as long as I'm with you.
Barf.
Cute, but I need to know what the fuck we are doing. Which literally is what I say to him.
Two fucking seconds of effort. You know what? You get this fucking phone that you matched on. You have an app called Tinder. I want you to go and download an app called Yelp. And then you just fucking open it.
Literally search your area.
Literally just put bar. And the first one that comes up, you just... You screenshot, send with a time.
7 p.m.
It
done.
Takes,
you're
I
literally
mean,
done.
Literally less than a minute.
I mean, how often do we make last minute plans? How often? If you can do that with your fucking friends, yeah. You can do that with a date.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, this, like, you're masking this indecisiveness and cuteness. Like, you think that you're going like to get it. Away with, like, being cute.
Yeah.
No, I got to be honest. Yeah. I'm now learning that this indecisiveness is a fucking deal breaker for me.
It is. It's, oh, God. It's a deal breaker for me, too.
Literally,
like,
last night.
If I invite you someplace, I'm going to say, I would like to hang out and have dinner with you at this place at 7 p.m.
Does that sound
that's,
good?
That's how that work I invite.
And then there's a reciprocation. Yeah,
exactly.
Totally works. Or, hey, can we meet at 6 instead? Or a whatever. That's
exactly.
How this works.
That's how this works.
Right. Or I'd literally. Rather go to this place. Is that okay with you? Like any of that. Like, that's all fine. A conversation is fine. But, like, start. Give me something.
Yeah.
Start with something.
Yeah. Literally, like, whenever I've been, like, asked out on, like, these apps, it's always like, you want to hang out Tuesday night?
When? Where? What are we doing?
Pertinent fucking information, please. Like, any of that. Any of that
the
would be great.
The bare minimum that you... that what is required on an Evite is what I want from yes. you. If there's an asterisk next to it on your Evite invitation, meaning location and time, mm-hmm.
but
that's what I need from you,
because
sir.
Because this fucking swipe culture has made it so much that it's, like, literally the barest amount of effort.
It's literally you up, you free.
Yeah, exactly. That it's just, like, trained people, mm-hmm. I guess, some people, some pieces of shit, that they don't have to put in even the barest amount of effort. Mm-hmm. And that's rude. And it's really
it's super rude.
Yeah.
So she says, I'm a university student and had uni that day, 12 p.m. to 6 p.m., which he knew. It's 9 a.m. and he still hasn't told me what we are doing, but I get ready under the assumption he will eventually tell me. So I do my makeup, wear a cute outfit, and head to uni. Now, this is where the story gets good. So if you're spicy already, I get a message from him at 1:30 p.m. saying, so I made a whoopsie, which red flag.
Fuck
fucking
off.
A grown man who uses the word whoopsie. We're out of here.
Fuck nope. Off.
And who unironically uses that word. Mm. And I'm like, oh, God, here we go. And I reply with, please don't tell me you're busy. Now, this next message, I had to read it twice to make sure I wasn't misinterpreting it. And remember that we are going on our first date. We haven't even met yet. So this message says, my mom is in town and I thought she was leaving today. She's actually leaving tomorrow and we're having dinner tonight. Would you like to join us?
Do you think that's like... Do you think
wait,
he's just being
but they
polite?
They had plans the night previous.
Before. Yes.
So what?
Yes.
Yeah. What?
Well, and also, like, a deal breaker for me, not only is he indecisive, like, you forgot what day your mom was leaving town?
Right.
Yeah. Like,
it's
what?
So weird.
Sir. It sounds to me like somebody who just doesn't have any cares about anybody but himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very, very, very
she
narcissistic.
She says, a first
behavior.
Date with his mother. No. His mother. On our first date. No. I love that she wrote it that many times.
No.
What the fuck? I'm sitting in my lecture wondering whether to laugh or cry or scream. Do I say no? Do I say fuck no?
Yeah.
Or do I, and this is crazy, say yes? My instinct is to say no. Hell no. This is a first date and meeting his mother is so inappropriate.
Right.
I'll be asking questions trying to get to know him and she'll be asking me questions trying to get to know me. Questions he won't even know the answer to. And imagine how awkward she would feel. The best
course... How much do I want to put him in that situation though?
Just, oh God.
Just knowing this is going nowhere and
but,
be like...
But he just seems... He seems you. So fucking clueless.
He's clueless.
I don't think that he would pick up on the...
The
subtlety. On the
of,
subtlety
like,
or the weirdness of it.
Right.
He would just be like, yeah, it's my mom. She's cool. This is some chick that I
so
might
we're gonna
bang.
Go get some pizza.
I matched with.
Yeah.
The best, she sent me a lingerie pic. Do you want to see it? The best course of action is to politely decline and never speak to him again.
Right.
But part of me thinks maybe I should do it. He's insanely gorgeous and hot, like catfish level of attractive.
Oh, yeah.
And,
no.
And well, hey, we've all been there. Mm-hmm. And hey, it would make for a good story, right? Clearly.
Thank you.
So, yeah, thank you so much for sacrificing yourself for the sake of the podcast. So I ask my friend next to me and text two other best friends for their opinion. One says he'll stop being my friend if I go.
That's amazing.
That's a good friend. One says go for it and the other says what the fuck. We have a 10-minute break in the lecture and I sit there continuing to stare at the text, wishing it would dissolve and would just be the details of our first date without his mother. I start to eavesdrop on the conversation between two girls on my right. They're reading their horoscopes and I'm a massive astrology fan and start to listen intently. When they're done, I politely ask, hey, would you mind reading mine? It's Virgo.
That's awesome.
And they happily, I love that this is the decision maker here. They happily oblige. Oh, good Lord. Why did I have to ask them? So the girl starts to read my horoscope and I shit you not. This is what it says. You are faced with a difficult choice, an opportunity that you would normally run from. But today you need to say yes. Take the opportunity as it will teach you valuable lessons and put you out of your comfort zone for your own benefit. Don't run from it. I'm literally shrinking into my seat in laughter and tears and regale the two girls with my first date dilemma. Well, the stars are telling me to go for it. And in a moment of impulse, I say, sure, it's a weird first date, but let's do it. What the fuck have I done?
No.
He replies with, fantastic. And surprise, surprise, no details are provided still. It gets so much worse from here.
It gets so much worse.
I text him at 3:30 p.m. asking him for details, and he knows I finished uni at 6. It gets to 4:30 and still nothing, and I learn from my tutorial that my tutorial will be finishing early, so I text him that I need to know where to meet them by 5:30. It's 5:20 and still nothing. At this point, I'm feeling so fucked around. For days, I've been asking for a time and place. I spent an hour on my makeup and at least half an hour trying on different outfits morning. Only for him to not even respond and organize anything. So simple.
That's what gets me more. That gets me even more than the not scheduling is that she actually, she wasn't just sitting there seething about not receiving details. She asked him explicitly several times and he's choosing to fucking ignore. Mm-hmm. And this is just like, you know what, motherfucker? I see you posting on goddamn Twitter.
Right.
I've sent you three literally texts, and I fucking see you posting bullshit about Star Wars on Twitter. So go fuck yourself and answer my goddamn
sounds like
text.
A personal situation.
I'm just saying.
Sounds very, very, very,
very specific.
Very specific.
Very specific.
But no, I mean, like, listen, 90% of us are tied to our phones. The only time you don't respond is if you're if you're in the shower, if you're driving, or if you're sleeping, those are the only times you're not responding. Mm-hmm. So to me, I'm just like, if it's been hours, you've had time to look at it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know, and you're even if you took a nap midday, you've woken up by now.
Yeah. So rude.
Another guy I'd been on one date with who was absolutely amazing had messaged me earlier asking if I was free. I thought, well, I'm already dressed up. And
do it,
cute,
girl. So yes, yes, yes. That's what your horoscope was telling you to do.
Yes.
Go out with that guy, please. Fingers crossed. That's what she did.
So I might as well not let the effort go to waste and say yes to this guy. I messaged the original guy, Mama's boy, saying, hey, I'm just going to go home. We'll organize something another time. No, we won't. I get a reply immediately. Once again, so he was looking at his fucking phone,
fucking
saying, "Aw, damn. I hope you have a nice night then." So you kept me on the line all day for something that you didn't even care that much about, clearly.
And he honestly didn't want to invite her in the first place. You know that.
Unmatch and block. Mm-hmm. Unmatch and block.
I say, well, what did you expect when you haven't even told me a time or where to meet you? I'm feeling so fucked over and like you completely wasted my time. He says, I'm sorry you feel that way. I'm a spontaneous person. So I usually decide in the moment. I'm going to flip this fucking guy. I hate people like this.
I know. Chuck him.
I say, I understand that, but at least tell me a place and time and we can then decide together from there. I'm incredibly upset over this. Again, I shit you not. This is his response. why don't you give me your address so I can come over with ice cream and a hug and make you feel better?
Why don't you go fuck yourself?
Wow.
Dude, I don't, I really don't understand.
I got some ice cream
for you. I've matched with Dudeface. Medic is exactly this guy.
Yep.
Yes.
He is this guy to a fucking T.
You know who I was thinking of?
Cannot think of
Stabler.
Like,
Bread crumber.
And can't understand like why it's so disrespectful and why it's so rude. And I don't think he listens or whatever, but if he does, let this be a lesson.
Yikes.
This isn't a me thing where I think this is rude. This is legitimately rude to do to any human, not just somebody that you're trying to date.
I mean, especially
it's rude.
I consider myself an extrovert.
Yeah.
I consider myself an extrovert. I like to go out. I like to be around people.
Same.
However, I need time to prepare myself for that. I need you to tell me at the start of the day or the night before that we're doing something the next day. Because otherwise, while I'm at work all day, all I'm thinking about is when I get home, I'm taking these jeans off, I'm putting on pajamas, and I'm settling in to watch fucking 48 Hours. That's what I'm doing. If you text me after I'm already home, bra off in PJs, expecting me to go out with you, that shit is not happening.
Also, like, if you text throughout, like, the day of thinking that you have plans and you're just being completely ignored, it's a terrible feeling.
Oh, no. I would have canceled this much earlier than she did.
Oh, yeah.
So she says, what the fuck? He fucks me around for days and now wants to buy me ice cream and apologize? I get to my date with the second guy and decide to reply to Mama's Boy in the morning. No way I was inviting him over and I was too upset to reply to him anyway. So it's the next morning and I receive a massive text from him that roughly goes, guess I blew my chance, .. I'm so sorry that you felt fucked over. I hope you meet a guy who treats you like a like the princess you are, because out of everyone else, you deserve it the most, XXX.
Get the fuck out of here.
This fucking guy. This message just pisses me off even more. I don't want to be treated like a princess. I want someone who can give me the courtesy of a time and place for a date.
Just treat me like a human.
Preach.
Also,
he
is used to not replying the same day, so he clearly did this for attention.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I decide to text him back saying, I didn't reply because I was incredibly upset and didn't want to talk to you. I was looking forward to meeting you. Why? I don't know if she wants me to use her name. Present person is confused why past person was so dumb. And you wasted my time. Being honest, I'm not keen on making plans with you again out of fear that this will happen again. His message back was, I guess we have two choices. Try again and do all the work or we forget it. And oh God, this message pissed me off even more. Not only did he make me feel guilty that he would have to do, quote, all the work, but organizing a date isn't work. It's not that hard.
It's not that hard.
It's not work. I decided to not reply and that was the last I heard from him. Until yesterday.
What?
Oh, zombie.
Our conversations back then, 2 to 3 months
and then
ago.
Everybody turned us off.
They're like, ooh, yikes. Our conversations back then, 2 to 3 months ago, were over text. And last night I got a DM from him on Instagram saying, hey.
Oh.
Hey means I have a boner.
Yeah.
And I'm alone.
A boner looking at your pictures on Instagram.
Remember that lingerie photo you sent?
Yeah. I've been pulling it up. Hey. I have it saved as a favorite.
Oh my God. Someday aliens are going to come down and they're going to look at all the literature that human beings have created throughout the ages. And it's going to be Shakespeare and Bronte and Dickinson and Faulkner
and Brad
and Hemingway
and then this fucking guy. Hey, beautiful, simple, complete.
I know, encapsulates the entire human existence.
I feel like we're doing like an ad for like a fragrance.
Compelling.
Hey, by Marc Jacobs.
Oh my God, I want to buy that perfume so bad.
Hey. You Up by Calvin Klein.
Yeah. Hey, Britney Spears' latest cologne perfume. Hey.
And she says, I haven't.
That's the name of this episode. I'm just going to name it Hey. And it's not even going to be fucking capitalized.
Hey. We lost Keegan. I'm under the table.
Oh my God.
She says she hasn't replied and doesn't plan to. Phew, what a ride. Thank you so much, ladies, and hope you enjoyed at my expense. Definitely still learning not to tolerate problematic men, but
dude,
I'm getting there.
Same, girl. Same. I fucking love you. Ooh, thank you for writing that.
That
in.
Was a long story, but we had a so lot to talk about
it.
There, man.
It was
there
amazing.
Was a lot to discuss. Wow.
I okay. felt that in my bones.
In my heart.
Wow.
In my heart.
I needed that. Oh, you, man. That's like one. That's like one of those fucking memes that's like, I don't know who needs to hear this,
but
and that I fucking
that
needed to
is,
hear that story.
I don't know who needed to hear this. You're
exactly.
like, I do.
Me.
Raise hands. Yeah. Got it.
Hey.
Oh, it's so funny.
Oh, my God.
God damn. This is going to be a long episode because we got a bunch of long stories today.
Oh, fuck it, dude.
I like it.
Yeah, well, I'll trim up.
We got a little bit of trims.
Because I think this one's going to be really funny.
And yeah. people like long episodes too.
They do. I do anyway. All right, guys. So here's the dealio. I did a story a couple episodes back about the MLM, right?
Yes.
Oh my God. Fucking hilarious story. And what I meant to do at the time was give a shout out to who wrote that. And it was by this girl who has a blog called The Single Society. And because I didn't give a shout out, I was like, I actually went onto the website and I was like, singlesociety.com. And I was like, it's got like, she has so many fucking brilliant, great stories. The way she writes is incredibly intriguing and like keeps you going. And so I reached out to her again. I was like, your stories are so much fun. A, is there a story that you love a lot? I would love to reshare a story from your website. And, you know, I didn't give you the proper shout out you deserve. But she didn't have one specific, so I just went through and I picked one that I thought was kind of funny, and I'm going to share it.
Okay.
But I highly recommend everybody. I mean, this is, if you like our podcast, you will love her website because it is chock full of A, great writing and hilarious stories. So I know that you will enjoy your time over there.
Awesome.
So let's start with this story from her site. It is called The Not So Fly Guy.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Yeah, here we go. So she says, I showed up to a cozy Williamsburg cafe.
Pennsylvania?
No. That's why I was clarifying. I believe she's from New York, so this is Brooklyn. I'm
assuming. It's not Colonial Williamsburg.
No. Okay. Which is also, by the way, in Virginia.
Oh, whatever.
Listen,
old school white people were not creative. There are so many Springfields and like Williamsburgs, and there's just too many towns of the same name.
Totally. So I showed up to a cozy Williamsburg cafe for a date after I reluctantly agreed to meet Garrett, a self-proclaimed serial entrepreneur who I knew was probably going to be a total douche.
Can we add Garrett to the list of potential douchey names?
I know Garrett.
Oh my God, I want Garrett's to name my cat Garrett immediately.
Garretts are very different from Chads.
Dude, I had
very
yes,
different.
They are.
But you
they
fucking
are.
Know who
you
Garrett
know,
is.
A couple
douche.
Of
that's what he said.
She's the last bachelorette, not the current one, but Becca, she got with a Garrett. And that guy is like wet fucking toast. I hate that dude.
Wet toast.
Wet croutons.
Awful. Wet soggy croutons.
Soggy croutons.
Yes. Oof. Yes. And he's such a Garrett.
And they're
like,
so like
mansplaining.
Where they're like,
Garrett
you know
is
what?
A mansplainer.
You know what this totally. Garrett did? The Garrett from Becca's season of The Bachelorette. He had a failed marriage that only lasted like a year or something.
Oh, and
talked
I
about
bet.
Her constantly.
I bet she was crazy.
Yes. All talked her about fault. Her constantly and never took. Him and his whole family never took any responsibility for anything. Whittle Garrett probably did to contribute to the divorce.
Absolutely.
And constantly on national television talked about how she was the worst and she did all
I
these
need
things
to hear
that
from her.
Destroyed their ex-wife marriage.
Ex-wife of Garrett.
Right.
Bullet
in.
Hit
let us
bullet
know.
Dodged.
Yeah.
For yeah. sure.
Yeah. Becca, get the fuck out. He was also racist, but that's neither here nor there. Continue.
Okay. On that note, okay. So... She said, who I knew was probably going to be a total douche from the start, but it was Friday night and I pathetically had nothing else on the agenda.
No, it happens.
It happens. Yeah. Sometimes you're like, you know what? Fuck it. It's Friday.
Yeah.
What's the worst that could happen?
Well, I think we might find out. Okay. I don't know. I was the first at the scene, so I ordered a glass of Petit Syrah. Syrah. That's what I said.
Syrah.
Petit Syrah.
I like wine.
Yeah.
Yes.
I am a white girl. Wait. I mean, I am, but I also like white wine is what I meant. So anyway, yeah, Petit Sirah, which is a red, and surrendered my American Express to the bartender to open up a tab. Garrett arrived and immediately expressed his remorse for his unpunctuality. So sorry I was late. I had to fly out to Pennsylvania because of one of my rental properties out there had a flood and I had to do some damage control. I jumped on my plane right after and got here as quickly as I could.
Casually mentions they're better than you. Just
your plane? You have a plane? She says. Oh, asking about his plane was a huge mistake that I immediately regretted.
Well, he mentioned that plane on purpose, so you would ask about it.
He was begging. He was actually like, "Would you please ask me about my plane?"
Yeah,
that's what
if she hadn't, his head would explode.
Oh yeah,
it literally would sit there and it'd start to shake. His head would get really big, and then it would fucking explode.
He'd interrupt your next sentence and be like, "I'm sorry, I think you may have missed. I don't think you heard that I had a plane."
So
I said I had a plane. Did you hear that?
Yeah. Sure you don't want to ask about it?
So again, asking about the plane was a huge mistake. He pompously whipped out his cell phone and began showing me his beloved propeller plane as if it was his newborn baby girl. This went on for roughly 25 minutes. He continued on about how all the businesses he had started and his elaborate plan to retire at age 40. He ordered several double shots of tequila on the rocks, and I just finished my first glass of wine.
He put this shit on her card.
We then established that we both lived in East Williamsburg. I finally got a word in and said that I lived in a lovely one bedroom and told him the street. Oh, I guess we are neighbors then. My brother and I live in the building two blocks over by the same management
your
company.
Your brother? You have a plane and you live with your brother?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dog-earing that for later.
Okay. Yep.
Saving
that's
that.
Interesting.
Saving that.
That's what interests me. Like, so I'm like, did you spend all your money on the plane?
Yeah.
You just like...
He says, it's a bit tight right now. We are both living in one bedroom because we are putting all of our money back into our businesses.
And a
she's
plane.
Like, but
do you, have a
own
bed?
A plane.
He
goes, yeah, the plane is my baby. I would rather share 600 square feet with my brother than give up my plane. Sir.
I wouldn't.
Oh, priorities. Sir. Priorities.
By his third double tequila and only my second glass of wine, his speech was slurring.
Three double tequilas?
Yeah.
So like six. Yeah. Six drinks. That's like the equivalent of six drinks. Wow.
Yikes. That's a lot of tequila.
And tequila will ruin your life.
Tequila. Well, we all know that.
You may or may not have committed homicide on tequila.
Correct.
Yeah. Right.
Correct. Jury's out.
I mean, we're not sure.
We are not sure.
We're not sure.
Secret.
speaking of secret, sorry, real quickly, I just want to share that to fly with Charlie, he had to be at least 10 weeks old, and he is for sure the babiest of babies.
He's probably half that age.
He's tiny.
Yeah.
And I for sure was like, when they asked me, I'm like, oh yeah, he's 10 weeks old. He was the runt.
Yeah.
So speaking of lying.
Yeah, those people don't care.
And you're like, challenge me on this.
I said, I was like,
take this fucking cap.
Prove he's not.
Prove he was adopted.
Anyone who works at TSA, unless you're just like that fucking weirdo.
Don't give a
unless
shit.
You're a fucking monster.
You just care about your job that much.
Also, everybody was like enamored because at the time we were calling him Brad. And so everybody thought that was fucking hilarious.
I think that's so funny.
Brad. I kind of want someone named Brad. But anyway, moving on.
People listening to this episode are like, wow.
Sorry.
Sidebar Nation.
It's National Wine Day.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, hey. We got to stop doing that. Yeah. Okay. Hey. By his third double tequila and only my second glass of wine, his speech was slurring and determined it was time to call it a night.
Yeah.
The bartender came over and asked if we would like to put our drinks on the card he was given, to which Garrett eagerly replied, yeah, that works. I get my bill.
Does it work?
I get my bill, and the total comes to $127.62. Jesus Christ, what are you drinking, Crystal?
$127. If I got a bill for that on a first date, I've paid for a lot of first dates, which I know, like, we've talked about it before.
$127 bill for
blows
drinks.
Your fucking mind. I have, first of all, I have never gone on a first date where I have racked up that kind of bill for a guy. Ever. I would not be comfortable with that. That's not how I roll.
No.
I don't like that. If I was going to drink a fancy liquor or something like that I wanted to drink, I'd put it on my own fucking tab. because I don't fucking know that person.
You don't want to be beholden to that person.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I don't want that guy to be like, I spent $200
fucking
dollars on you. What are you going to do for me?
Yeah, I mean, and
yeah. I don't owe you shit, motherfucker.
And here's the thing.
Can we stop that?
We can't stop that.
Can we literally...
I'll pay for my own drinks. I'm fucking fine with that.
But even if you don't... on that thought process.
Even if you don't, it doesn't matter. Like, even if they do spend $200 on your dinner and your drinks, you don't get my body just because you spend some fucking money on my dinner.
Because guess what?
Yeah.
I am not a sex worker. Fine if you are, but that you're not paying for me.
Well, no, right. Because if I was a sex worker, we would have gone into this agreement from the get-go
from the beginning
and understood where we were.
Both stood on this.
Yeah,
exactly.
you don't get to make that decision.
Right. Oh, and also, yeah, yeah.
That's
no,
the
it's
thing is that
like,
you get to make that decision.
Correct.
And I still get to make that decision, even if you spent $200.
But to fucking lay that on somebody, yeah. $127
bill.
Lay that on a stranger is so uncomfortable and is so...
It's rude.
It's so fucking
so
rude.
So rude.
And I think of how much I struggled this past year, like financially.
Sure.
Getting things rearranged. Being on my own in a city that is...
Expensive.
Expensive.
Yeah.
And if I had gone on a fucking first date that I maybe wasn't kind of feeling.
No, you're Venmoing me for half of that.
And he put $127 on my card. I would have started crying.
Yeah. And I would have definitely told the bartender, I'm sorry, no, we are separate.
Yeah,
that's
no,
my card.
No, yeah, you'd have to. I would have to.
I'd be like,
yeah.
What,
yeah.
Am I not going to pay my fucking rent this month?
Because I'm on a bad date?
No.
So terrible. Yeah, no.
I'm not chewing my leg off.
With a guy who's living in 600 square feet with his brother.
Sell your fucking plane and pay for your fucking tequila.
Jesus.
Get the fuck out.
Anyway, he says, oh yeah, sorry, I only drink top shelf. Didn't realize I drank so much though. How about I get you next time? No, Garrett, I had two glasses of wine that were $12 each.
There's
How
not
about
a next time.
You man up and Venmo me $100 yep. right now.
Thank you.
Yes.
Oh my God.
He proceeded to offer up the excuse that he didn't have Venmo. Motherfucker. So I suggested.
You download it. I'll do it for you. Give me your phone.
So I suggested we run to the ATM next door. I don't keep that kind of money in my
this
account.
This bitch is amazing.
Garrett.
You don't have $100?
You don't have $100 in your account?
I'm not rich.
You just spent an hour telling me about a plane you own and how you are retiring in 5 years.
Oh my God. I am not rich by any means. I could give you. I'm sorry. She has a meme on her blog. That's amazing. We'll post
they
it on.
Do, they, so at the bottom of all of her posts,
dying.
They have these perfect memes. That,
we'll,
like,
we'll post it on our social media because that's hilarious.
So funny.
But yeah, I'm not rich by any means. I have $100 in my account.
I have $100 in
yeah,
my
like,
account.
Are you kidding me?
Jesus.
Move that money from your savings. You don't have a savings account?
Yeah, he got a plane though. So,
did she get the money or not?
No, she didn't. She said, "I kissed that $127 goodbye and wrote him off."
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh,
fuck
wow.
you, Garrett.
Wow,
what a Garrett.
What
move.
A Garrett move.
I love that fucking blog.
Oh, wow. It's so good, and they're like all the stories are so fun, and again, so super well written. So.
Oh my God,
and, yeah.
Okay,
single
so
society.
Sorry to all of our listeners for all of those sidebars, but I feel like they were necessary.
No, I'm not apologizing for sidebars. I love our sidebar nation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, otherwise you could just go on Reddit.
You could read them yourself.
Yeah, yeah exactly.
Yeah.
I
you come here to hang out with me.
I drink wine and I have opinions.
And I know things.
And I will be heard.
I will be heard. You sound like you're going to cry about it.
You will hear
we'll
my
hear opinions.
Fucking opinions.
I think it's the cold.
And I think it is the cold. It does. It sounds like I'm emotional.
Very upset. You're not emotional. She's not crying, ladies
I'm
and
not
gentlemen.
Crying.
But I am
I'm
ready to hear your fucking
all right,
crazy
yeah.
and love.
Lay this crazy in love
I'm
on
so
us.
I'm so excited. Okay. So I... first of all, I talked to Cassie earlier this week because there's actually a crazy in love that her and I both are like on the hunt for.
Yeah.
And
I almost did it last week.
It was on Oxygen. Or it's not
yet.
It's not out yet. June 1st. It's the murder in the mansion.
You remember the woman that was found bound by her hands and her legs hung? And outside of the mansion. Remember the baby?
What?
You don't remember the story?
I remember the story because it's like
it.
the fucking kid
it was
fell
a
and died.
Inside is what they called it.
The kid died and they called this fucking chick a suicide even though she was bound by her hands and her feet, found hanging from the railing. And they were like,
that sounds vaguely familiar.
Hands behind her back.
It's on Oxygen, this documentary on it. It's called Murder at the Mansion, and it's got Jensen in holes.
Ooh.
Proceed.
Yes, yes. So both Cassie and I have like, put it on our list of like crazy in loves, like we gotta do this.
It's
one
though,
but I wanted to wait because apparently there's new evidence that they're gonna show,
which is why I wanted to wait too, because I was like, also too, it's like I wonder if it is a crazy in love, because the boyfriend was I think at the hospital during the time, so it's the brother who they suspect,
right?
So it's like I don't know,
it's layers.
Yeah, there's layers. But I can't wait to see this.
But everybody fucking mark your calendars, because this looks like the best documentary ever.
I'm excited.
And it's on Oxygen, which we love.
Which, yeah. And I have.
Yes.
Because
yes.
ID is not part of my cable package, but Oxygen is. So I'm
telling you, you can download the I.
I know.
You can watch it on your phone.
I know.
Or you can
go without.
Or not.
Anyways, so I was going on deep dives this week, and I was like searching like murders with crazy twists and like all kinds of stuff. And it was like, murders that may not be murders. Mm. And I landed on the possible murder of boxing legend Arturo Gatti.
So. Yes, yes, yes. I know this story.
Deep fucking dive on this. I've read so many articles and stuff this week. This morning, I woke up and treated myself to a nice cup of coffee and a 48 hours mystery.
Nice.
And it was beautiful.
Beautiful.
So let me tell you this story. Arturo Gatti was born in 1972, and he was an Italian-Canadian professional boxer who competed from 1991 to 2007.
I'm sorry. Time out. Not related to the mob Gatti.
Not related to the mob Gatti. Spelled
making
different.
Sure. Okay.
It's G-A-T-T-I, not G-O.
Okay.
So yeah, different. He was nicknamed Thunder. And he was known for his heart and bravery in the ring. And he also carried formidable punching power. Like, a lot of people compared him to Rocky Marciano. Like, you could just, like, beat the fuck out of his face and he wouldn't go down. Like, he was, like, had this real Rocky kind of persona.
Maybe it's the wine, but I'm like, I dig that.
I dig it, too. Here's a picture. Like, here's a picture of him.
Okay.
Good eyebrows. Oh, my God, he looks like Rocky a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, where, I mean, he was just, like, people just like loved him. He had this underdog kind of persona, even though he wasn't an underdog. He had a very winning record, but just like people gravitated toward him. He was a champion like three times in like welterweight, but he wasn't like a Floyd Mayweather or like he wasn't like one of those people that was going to be a legend. He was never going to be a fucking legend.
Kind of rode the middle,
but he was just like, you know, like you wanted him to win. So he ended up actually like his biggest thing was the fact he had three fights against Mickey Ward, Irish Mickey Ward, who is the one that Dude Face, Mark Goldberg did that movie about, the fighter.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And that wasn't in the movie, but that was like the biggest part of their career was they did three fights for HBO and like, they're still like, they're on
God,
the.
I feel like I remember all this.
They're on the Boxing Hall of Fame. Yeah.
Like it's mid to late 90s, maybe?
It's huge in that, like, again, they weren't fighting for the title, but they were so well matched that they're considered some of the greatest fights of all times. I think they're like, they're on the top 10 list of best fights ever was because they were just so evenly matched and people went bananas about their fights.
Well, and they're on like, you know, you got an Italian and a
Irish
and an
Mickey
Irish guy
fighting
each other. Like people they stake their claim.
So yeah, he was born in Italy and he moved to Montreal, Quebec, Canada. He eventually relocated to Jersey City and basically,
I mean, not to be stereotypical, but duh.
You're like, I'm sorry, I've seen the Jersey Shore. Yeah. I know how this works.
So basically, like, his career is starting to wind down. I'm going to do this with no notes, by the way.
I like it because it means I can see the fire in your eyes.
I wanted to set it up. So I got, you know, Wikipedia. And like I said, I've read like a lot of articles on CNN and a couple different sports websites and then watch the 48 hours. So he meets this girl, Amanda. They're like walking dogs in the neighborhood. It's a total meet cute. She is 20. She's young. She's very pretty.
How old is he at this point?
He's like in his 30s.
Okay.
So he's older. He, older. Older.
Well, older than her.
Older than her.
Older than
her. Yeah. Not old. I'm not old.
Excuse me. You break out in a cold sweat.
But, so yeah, they meet, they have like a lot in common. They end up falling in love. A year after they start dating, he proposes to her and they get married at the Grand Canyon. And it's like super romantic. Aww.
That's a pretty place to get married.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
pictures.
I saw the pictures. It's kind of cute, but Aww. It's also kind of cheesy. Aww. But you know, like it's cute. And maybe I think it's cheesy because I'm like, I'm somewhere in between like you right. and Cassie with where I fall You're like, in love. Uh-huh. Where I'm like, oh, that's like, the romantic.
Gross.
But she has actually, when they meet, she doesn't know anything about fucking boxing. She doesn't know he's a fighter. She doesn't know he's like anybody. But ends up seeing his very last fight. His very last fight, he ends up losing. And he's really upset. And he's like, baby, I wanted you to marry a champion. And she's like, aww. No, like, it's fine. Like, you're a champion. Also, he's got $6 million
yeah.
estate. He's fine.
Yeah, you're a she's champion like, in my book,
you're a champion. Sir. Let's be done with this stuff. Because
Amen.
Meanwhile, Amen. Like, he's had over 40 professional fights.
How many concussions is that?
That's a lot.
What's the math on that?
How jello is your brain?
Right.
Yeah, that's
Let's
enough.
Let's talk about CT motherfucking E.
Yeah, take what's left of your brain and just go on vacation.
Yes, yeah. You're done.
You can retire now.
We can be done. Yeah. $6 million is enough. You don't think I can have a great fucking life with $6 million and you don't have to fucking continue to get your face pounded in?
Yeah, I'm good. Amen.
Be done. It's fine, but he could not retire. He had this kind of party boy lifestyle where he like drank and did drugs and that kind of thing and like had fun, but continued to get punched in the face, punched in the head, and then retired, didn't have anything else to do, didn't have to train, didn't have to fucking do anything
right.
but party. And he had a real Jekyll fucking Hyde personality. And let me tell you, like, we all change when we drink, right?
Happens.
We all change. Yeah. Sometimes, and we've talked, I'm like, tequila makes me murder. And like, whiskey makes me like chill. Wine makes me opinionated. I'm like, we all know what we are when we drink. We all have a little bit of that Jekyll and Hyde. But what I really don't have is violent, like,
tendencies.
Violent. Yeah. Like, I will not throw things at you. I will not be physically abusive to you. But that is what he had.
Well, and certain people, depending on the alcohol and depending on whether or not, no, you pour that wine. It's National Wine Day. Depending on the alcohol and depending like on how blackout you are, I feel like people can get there and not realize they're getting there, you know, because
that's so funny because my dad was an alcoholic and he would not drink hard liquor. He's like, he's basically like Hulk mentality. Like, you wouldn't like me on hard liquor. You know? And I'm like, I don't even like you on beer. So
I probably wouldn't.
Sir. Yeah.
And well,
how much worse can it get?
Like, well, and if I get blackout drunk, what's happening is like, I'm falling asleep with a hamburger in my hand. I'm forgetting to take my makeup off and like getting red lipstick all over my pillow. That's what's happening. It's not like I'm going to punch somebody and forget
it. Waking up with the Tammy Faye pillow.
You're like, I can see my eyelashes and my full lips.
You're like, oh my God, why is my pillow the shroud of Turin?
I have to tell you, that's always... And that's always what I tell Anthony. I'm like, if I go to sleep without, because I usually, have you seen that meme that's like, if you got yourself a girl who takes her makeup off when she's blackout drunk, that she's capable of murder.
She is.
Oh,
she
shit.
Is,
you that know what is. I mean? Because literally. Yes, if I leave my makeup on, you know that I was
done.
Beyond. You guys saw me at Amy's bachelorette party. I still took my fucking makeup off.
Yeah, same.
I took my makeup off.
Holy shit. I didn't know that.
Yes.
I didn't know that because you were
fucked up. More fucked up than I ever
did. Also, did you realize that Amy's bachelor, we were we were on Vanderpump Rules.
Of course we were. Because we were badass bitches.
Which is the worst. I haven't seen it. The worst possible me that could be on TV.
Yeah. Well, there you go. We're
it famous. Is what it is. Now we're famous. Anyway.
So anyways.
He gets aggressive.
Their fucking relationship is tumultuous. But even still, like, she gets pregnant. She has a son. Finally, it's his first son. He has a daughter from a previous relationship that he loves and everything like that, but he always wanted a son.
But it doesn't matter because she's a lady.
Exactly.
I hate that shit where they're like, but my first son.
Exactly. Like, it was like a fuck. It was like a big deal. He had Arthur Jr. and he was very excited. However, like, the deep dive that I did, here's the thing. He was shitty with her. But I also found text records of some of the shit
receipts
that she said to him. I found the receipts.
What did we just say about people being like their worst selves when they're together?
Correct.
Like, some people don't need to be together.
Some people don't need to be together. And this bothers me too. I don't like people that get violent or snarky when they're fucking drunk. I also don't like it when someone says, you're a fucking loser in and out of the ring.
Ooh.
Like, what else did she say?
Because what she did was she found his insecurity.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
she fucking just
poked it.
Twisted that knife.
Not that she deserved violence.
No.
That's not what I'm saying either. But I'm just also saying, like, She was fucking telling him shit like, nobody wants your fucked up life. You're a fucking loser. And honestly, like,
and if the person you love is saying that to you.
Exactly. Exactly. This is a really toxic situation.
Right.
And like, their friends that have talked have just been like, you know, they were not good together.
Right.
They were not good together. And he was in trouble with drink and drugs, and she was not helping. She may have thought that she was helping by denigrating him and being like, get your shit together. You're a fucking loser.
This is what therapy's for, guys.
But listen, I don't respond to that.
I don't.
Some people respond to negative reinforcement. I do not respond to negative reinforcement at all.
Yeah. Like, if you tell me, if you were like, you know, you're exhausting, or like, or say something like negative, like, I'm gonna remember that.
Yeah.
It lives forever for me, and that's not good. So anyways, he wants to try to make it work, apparently, because of his son.
Mm-hmm.
So he books them this crazy elaborate trip, 2 weeks in Europe and then a week in Brazil.
Ooh.
To do like a family graduation thing in Brazil. So they're going, she calls it like a second honeymoon kind of thing. And apparently it's amazing. She says it's like amazing. Some of his friends have like voice messages from him where he's like, this is a fucking nightmare. Literally, it's his voice. He's like, this is a fucking nightmare. I'll talk to you later. Ciao. So conflicting reports, but
I'm gonna trust his voice on a voicemail.
Yeah,
anything else.
Also, one of the things that he did right before he leaves that people can't figure out why he did, there's no receipts on it, he changed his will, where it was split pretty evenly between multiple family members as well as his son and his wife.
Huh.
But it changed to cut everybody else out. Except for his wife.
Interesting.
Interessante.
Interesting.
It's right before they left for the trip.
Sudden will changes are the most suspicious.
And 3 weeks later, he's dead.
Wow.
So, and it's $6 million. So
yeah,
no one can figure out what his motivation was for it. It's very,
very,
very bizarre.
Suspect.
People have speculated on it, but like, no one has any proof as to like whether or not she was pressuring him to, or like why he would do this thing. It's very weird. So anyways, they're on this trip. They finally get to Brazil. He gets really drunk at dinner and she's like, you know what? I don't fucking need this. I'm leaving. And he's like, fuck you. You can't leave. I'm leaving first. And he takes their kid.
Mature.
And
no,
leaves.
No, I don't like
it's
that.
It's like so immature. God. So they end up, she like gets really nasty with him. He fucking throws her down in front of everybody and scrapes her fucking face up in her arms.
No.
And so then the crowd gets really pissed.
Good job.
The crowd, right. Crowd is like, No, not today, sir. Not today, sir. And so like, she's like crying and she like goes to go back to the hotel. That crowd gets so pissed at him witnessing him doing domestic violence against his wife.
Not mad at him.
Like four guys end up fighting him, beating the shit out of
good.
Him.
Good. I'm not angry about that.
So apparently
crowdsource that.
There's several witnesses that witnessed the fight, and there's some disparity about what the extent of his injuries were, because he was a fucking professional
fighter,
boxer,
yeah,
and a fighter. And so some people were like, yeah, no one really came close to him or did anything. But a cab driver that took him home was like, no, he had an injury on the back of his head, and there was blood on my taxi cab seat when I dropped him off. Huh. So he had something, because someone was like, yeah, people were throwing rocks and someone threw a bicycle, which I was Jesus. Like, I fucking
bicycle.
I was like, I paused and team I like that guy. Wrote that down. I was like, someone was so upset that they were like I'm going to throw
team,
this
whoever
whole
that was
fucking bicycle at your face.
Yeah.
Like, fuck you for
it
hitting
was Christina.
Somebody. Exactly.
Night of tequila. She was like,
fuck you. I like, what is near me? There's this table. It's kind of bolted down. Here's a bicycle. Fuck you.
Yeah.
So he gets back to the hotel and she's like, she's already asleep. It's like around 2 a.m. She gets up because BT Dubs, they have like a 1-year-old baby. So she gets up early in the morning and she needs to get the baby a bottle. So she walks downstairs.
I'm sorry. I have to say, just split up.
Yeah.
Just be done.
Be done.
Just be done.
Just be done.
If you're this bad for each other, because again, it's like what we were talking about earlier, you know, you can do awful things and I don't necessarily think that you're an awful person, but clearly you are an awful person when you're in this relationship.
Here's what I think that I may not have the perspective on. Maybe a little because of people that I know, but what happens when you have children involved? Because I know people on both sides who are like, it's better for the children to not witness a toxic relationship and to grow up. And that's kind of where I fall too.
Yeah.
But I do know a couple of people who are like, I have to stay. I need to be around my kid.
Yeah.
And it's,
I think there's a mentality at that point too.
It's very, so
but
the
I mean,
kid was
I don't
a big
know.
Part
for,
of it.
For me, sure. If I saw my parents, and I did see my parents argue.
Right.
Like really, really argue in ways that were damaging to them and to me.
Me too. My parents get divorced.
You know, and I love both my parents are still together. It's not anything, it's no shade on any of that. It's just like, but to say that didn't affect me or create any kind of lasting impact, like of course it did.
Yeah.
Of course it did. And if it was this toxic,
right,
where they were fighting each other,
like physically,
and if your kid is worth it enough for you to stay in a toxic relationship for, it's worth it enough for you to stop fucking drinking then.
Yeah. It's worth it enough for you to stop drinking.
Go to therapy.
Thank
you. Go to therapy.
All this stuff. But anyways, so she fucking goes downstairs to get the baby a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like 6-7 in the morning or something. She gets the baby a bottle. She notices him out of the corner of her eye on the floor.
She notices her husband, not the
her
baby.
Husband.
Yeah, okay, got it.
On the floor. And she's like, oh, he's passed out on the floor again, is what she thinks. And goes back upstairs, feeds the baby, and goes back to bed. Then a couple hours later, she goes back downstairs and he's still on the floor. And that's when she finally starts to be suspicious and she's like goes over to check him out. Now, I saw the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is he on the floor, which is a bizarre, he's in a bizarre
position
on a tile floor.
Yeah, but if you know what, I mean, if you have somebody who gets drunk around you all the time and maybe passes out, like, you might be like, well, fuck him. He passed out. I don't
right.
know.
And
like,
she was very angry at him.
Yeah.
Very angry at him.
Sure.
In that she had been like fucked up. Because yeah. I guess when he came home, he was like, who did that to you, baby? Like, her fucking wow. face was. And she's like, you fucking did that to me. And
wow.
she said he got really sad about that.
The
like
fuck?
He was like he's sobered
truly
up
Jekyll
enough.
And Hyde.
Yeah, sobered
Whoa.
Up enough. So she fucking goes over and touches him. And she's like, by the way, I saw the pictures. Not only is he passed out on the floor, there's a pool of blood around him.
Oh, that she didn't notice the first time?
Yeah, and I don't know how you don't notice it.
Got it. So it wasn't dark?
The crime scene photos that I saw, it's like you have to walk down the stairs. You walk down these stairs, and they're not closed off stairs. They're
sure.
like open stairs. And he is underneath those stairs on a white tile floor with fucking blood in the grout all around him. Passed out in a really weird position. And she had to walk by it to get the bottle. Walk back up the stairs. And then a couple hours later came down and was like, this is weird. So police come. She like freaks out because she's like, he's fucking dead. She freaks out. The police come and they're like, yeah, he has a fucking enormous gash on the back of his head. There's your fucking purse strap bloody underneath his body. And a dead
yeah, that's
guy.
That's weird.
So you're fucking under arrest.
Wow.
Yeah, so
I hope that they arrest
her.
You're fucking under arrest, man.
You are fucking under arrest. So they keep her for a few weeks, but then the coroner determines out of nowhere, they're like, it's suicide.
What?
How?
Wait, what?
I fucking hate this shit.
That he strangled himself with her purse strap.
How?
And there were witnesses that said he had a rock and a bicycle thrown at him, and he had that gash on the back of his head.
Already.
But there's so much controversy mired in
this. Yeah.
In that there are a lot of people, his family, his friends, Irish Mickey Ward,
yeah,
thinks he came home drunk with some, like, incapacitated.
Yeah.
Maybe that injury already on the back of his head kind of passed out, and she fucking took advantage of it and is like, you know what?
Yeah.
Enough's enough.
Huh.
And was able to. Now, she's small, and he's a fucking world champion fighter.
Yeah.
But he's like, if he was fucked up enough.
I mean, that'd be really difficult, I think.
I think it would be really hard, but I mean, I guess it depends on how incapacitated he was.
Right.
Like, yeah. If you're blackout, can't. I mean, I've seen big guys who have drank so much that they can't fucking like get up
right.
off the floor.
Right.
But I don't think if you came after them, they wouldn't be able to fight back.
I mean, maybe, but I think it really does depend on like how fucked up you are, I guess.
Yeah. But it's also
but
like,
I don't. But
how
I also
much
know
do
that
you know somebody and know.
I guess that's true because I know myself, and I'd be like, I wouldn't be willing to take that chance that they'd be able to strong enough,
right.
be strong,
especially
enough
considering
if they've hurt me in the past.
Right.
Now, if they've thrown punches at me in the past, like there's,
yep.
I wouldn't take that chance, but how desperate was she? Who knows?
There was a couple of private investigators that the family hired to go down that tried to recreate the suicide, tried to recreate the conditions
yeah.
of where his body landed, like all this kind of stuff.
Is it even plausible?
They did it thousands of times and they were not able to recreate it.
Well, and for me, she walked fucking past him.
She walked fucking past him. And when you see the crime photos, like I said, like you cannot miss the blood in the grout.
Right, because I was going to say,
like, but was her finger or her fingerprints on the fucking purse strap? Like, as far as like,
that's the thing is that Brazilian police apparently have been fucking bombarded with just bullshit because they did not do like any fucking testing or anything.
Yeah.
They did. They fucking looked at the scene and they were like, this seems weird. Fucking arrest that
chick. I mean,
chick.
They did arrest her. Yeah.
They did arrest her. But then yeah. once they
beyond
quote
that.
Unquote investigated it, the coroner was like, it was a suicide. And they fucking released her. And that's where they're at now. Is
there are so many
has
question
been
about the
ruled
suicide.
A suicide. And
so they're saying he died of strangulation.
Correct. He died of asphyxiation.
And they're saying that he choked himself enough to get. Could you?
That's really hard to do.
Can you do that?
Because I mean, they talk about people who try and drown themselves.
Yeah, you can.
And even if you want to die, right, short of like weighing your body down,
that's why you have to. You take something and you have to like sit against a doorknob or sit against something.
You have to hang yourself. You have to hang yourself because. Correct. Your body will fight against trying to.
It won't allow dying.
It doesn't want to die. Yeah. So, I mean, that's why Virginia will fucking put those stones in her dress. Like, correct, you have to do something. It's almost impossible to drown yourself. When someone says, like, oh, they drowned themselves in the bathtub, it's almost impossible to do that because
your
fight response kicks in. So to strangle yourself, that's where it goes off the rails for me, is I'm like, to strangle yourself with a purse strap.
Right.
I don't care how fucked up you are.
When you look
at
the scene, you're like, where did you hang yourself from? And the purse strap is so weird. It's like this weird, like clippy, I don't know, 2000s purse. You know what I mean? Like,
and
it's
if you're going
like
to fucking
weird.
Kill yourself. There's a lot of ways to get that job done that wouldn't require strangulation takes a really fucking long time.
Yeah.
Like it takes a long time.
And people were like, you know, it was really interesting to watch because it is a lot of outside looking in and we don't know a lot. And there were a couple people who were like, he had demons and it is something to be hit in the head that much. And people don't fucking talk about
Like Benoit,
the
Chris Benoit.
Depression that happens.
Yeah.
He had been retired. He didn't have anything going on. He had this fucking crazy ass fucking relationship and his brain was jello.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying that he wouldn't have killed himself. Like, I'm not at all saying that he was incapable of doing that.
Say
I'm just saying this situation.
Looking at all of the evidence that I saw, I am so undecided. You can make a fucking case either way.
Yeah.
Well, nobody knows.
I'm never ever team like I knew him so well and he wouldn't have done this. Like
correct.
You don't know
you
that.
Don't
you
know
don't know that
anybody.
Person and you don't
know
you
never
and
know
as
anybody.
Somebody who has anxiety and depression, you don't always fucking know when someone is having like a depressive episode or an incredibly like anxious episode. You don't know that.
And honestly, like I do not consider myself like a suicidal person, but like if you do,
everyone has thoughts.
And like if you get drunk enough and you're on a bad fucking day, and like I had times this past year where things got fucking
dark,
bleak.
Yeah.
And thank fucking God I have fucking friends and I don't have a toxic relationship or I have people that I can reach out to and I can be like, do you want to grab dinner tonight?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To distract myself and get myself out of that.
Yes.
Like always.
Yeah. Yes, we should. It's more the details of this case specifically that I feel like are like suspect. I'm not saying he wouldn't have killed himself because we just did an episode for YAMF where we talked about like feminists and musicians, and Madigan talked about Kurt Cobain because he actually was an outspoken feminist, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people feel like Kurt Cobain didn't kill himself. And I'm like, I don't know. I think that he probably did.
I do too. I think he did too.
I think that he probably did. I don't think like standing by and being like, a lot of people have problems and
people
demons
want to
and
demonize
issues.
The woman in a relationship like that anyway. If
they
want to,
they
want
to.
Yeah,
blame
we'll talk about that for Crazy in Love for sure. But like, I feel like a lot of people, anytime somebody kills themselves, people have questions like this,
right?
And they don't want to believe that someone did that as if it's something that's super shameful, which it's not. And I feel like it's not that he didn't kill himself. Or he did. That's not the question here. It's more of like looking at the evidence and saying like
it doesn't
look like he he could have or would have done this in this way.
It looks fucking super
suspicious,
fucking crazy,
and I'm not trying to like point fingers at anyone. It's just
and
like
so for years.
Seems weird.
Amanda has lived under suspicion. She ended up moving back to Montreal, where like all of his family and everything lives.
I sure would not do that.
She opened up a boutique because they took her to court and they were like, "Let's fucking split. Like this is weird. This is weird that his will was changed. You're fucking arrested in Brazil for his murder or whatever. She won the court case. She has all of his money because she refused them. She's like, I'm not splitting it with you. He fucking wrote his will out to me and my son, and that's that.
Yeah.
She's like, I loved him. It wasn't a perfect relationship by any stretch of the imagination. I love my son, and he made this choice.
Yeah.
To, and you know, I, like I said, I think I latched onto this case so much because it bothered me. Usually you watch something like this maybe. And it's really cut and dry. Yeah. You look at someone and you're like, you're a fucking liar or whatever. But I could not get to the bottom of this case.
Yeah.
I saw both sides and I'm like, I can't fucking figure it out. I really can't.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued by this case.
It's very sad that like sometimes there are just things that like, we won't know the answers to because it seems very suspicious, but you also can't throw somebody in jail for the rest of their lives for something that seems suspicious.
It's like, this is weird. It's got to be more than
weird.
That.
Yeah.
It is weird, but weird shit happens.
Weird shit happens.
Yeah, exactly. Go.
Wow.
Yeah.
So yeah.
What a good one. That's a really good one.
The crazy love one. Of Arturo Gatti.
Good. Yeah.
Awesome. Wow. So this was a long episode, you guys, but we hope you enjoyed the wild rides we took you on. Exactly. Were you done? I'm so sorry.
Yes. Okay. No, I am.
Are we not going to what we're watching this week? Or?
Oh, yeah. No, we should do that. I'm not watching anything, but I did want to talk about one thing in particular. I'm not watching anything new. I'm still watching Deadwood. I'm making my way through that.
Yeah.
But I started listening to Lizzo.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Holy
so good.
Shit.
So
you
good.
Guys, if you
I'm
are feeling...
I'm digging the fucking her track with Missy Elliott.
Oh, it's amazing.
That's Tempo.
Oh, Tempo is
Tempo.
Great.
Some songs, some skinny hoes.
There are, like, if you are someone in Drinkarinos was like, I'm feeling down about myself. I feel like, oh, no, it wasn't Drinkarinos. It was I'm in a till death marriage group. That's also a Murderino crossover
yes,
group.
Yes.
A wedding group. And she was saying how she feels really bad about herself and she like doesn't feel like worthy of like having a bridal shower or like being a bride. She feels like her self-confidence is really low.
Aww.
And I was like,
girl.
Pour yourself a drink of whatever you drink.
Yes.
And go put on Lizzo.
Yes.
Because that woman's self-confidence. It, like, honestly, it's probably the wine, but it like makes me like want to cry because I'm just like never in my life. And I feel like I have a pretty conventionally like my figure is I've always been slim. It's not. But I still have like body dysmorphia
about
myself.
Yeah.
I love you, but you fucking
But no, I do.
Do.
I absolutely do. I absolutely do. I'm coming to terms with the fact that's the case for me. But listening to Lizzo has just made me feel like, oh my God, like she's incredible.
She your
makes
back, girl.
Me want to feel like I'm incredible.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
like if you that. Are struggling with like self-confidence and like self-worth and self-love, go put on Lizzo's new album and just kick back and be like, you're the best. You're like, you're the most boss bitch of all time.
Amy Schumer said it best. It was like, I'm heavier than I've ever been in my life right now, but I could catch a dick.
They're coming at you.
Time.
And you know what? And also,
I'm beating off.
You're beating them off. First of all,
see.
But secondly, even if you fucking weren't, your worth is not quantified by how many men want to fuck you.
No,
like because
thank you
are fucking awesome anyway.
Thank you.
And if they can't see that. That doesn't determine your worth, but
that
also
determines their worth.
That determines their worth, but also
I feel fucking great in my skin right
that's
now.
That's exactly right.
I might not like I said, I'm maybe like a few pounds more than I'm used to being.
I am definitely a few pounds more than I'm used to. Who cares?
I'm having a good time.
Yeah.
You're fucking awesome.
I'm a narcissist, so I'm always happy with
you're
me,
like, this is your fat. Problem.
I'm the Lizzo of this group. I'm all like, bitches, like, please. I don't know if you saw these curves. This is the natural hourglass figure.
Playboy
also,
today.
It's not a natural hourglass figure. I totally got lipo and boobs. But you know what?
It makes you happy. And so, like, who cares?
Right.
Who cares? But, like, that's the whole thing. I'm just saying, I'm not watching anything new.
Lizzo
but I discovered Lizzo.
Real.
And people had talked about it. And anytime too many people talk about a thing, I'm like, fuck it. I don't need that in my life.
Yeah.
But then it came up in like my like rotation
multiple groups,
on Spotify. And I was like, I'm going to listen to everything this woman puts out because she makes me feel good about me. And that feels,
that's great. Yeah. I fucking trailer for new Black Mirror for all the nerdy listeners out there who like existential dread. That's what I'm
one end of the spectrum to the other.
Dude, it looks so good. And Miley Cyrus is on it. And I love Miley Cyrus so hard. Love her.
I do.
Mike, real quickie one, since I'll share, is Imposters. Have you guys ever seen that show?
No.
It used to be on Bravo. Last
night. Used to be on Bravo. And I think it's only two seasons long. I just binge watched it this week while I was out. I super love it. I kind of am hoping, like, it's one of those things where, like, it ended in a way that, like, if it's canceled, it's fine. Like, and it was canceled off of Bravo. It didn't make sense for Bravo. Yeah. I could see a Netflix picking it up. I think that it might be getting some steam. I kept noticing it on the top, which is why I decided to, like, invest in it a little bit again. It's definitely a binge-worthy kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's not one that I can wait every week for a new episode, but in a binge situation where I can knock out all the episodes, that's,
hell yeah,
it's really cute. It's good. It's good. It seems to be, you know, very well thought out, like well written. I'm just liking it. Enjoyable. It's not like something like, I'm not like Dear Diary, saw the best show today and it was called Imposters. You know what I mean? Like, well, but it was good.
Sometimes
it was
enjoyable. I'm not always looking for the best show.
I'm not. You know what I will say though? Good Girls is coming to their their season finale. Sorry, not series. Season. They are coming to their season finale. Anthony is the sweetest and he got me tickets to go to USC to go watch. I've already seen the season premiere from season two, but they are screening it at USC and they're having a talk back with Christina Hendricks like Retta.
I love that show.
Yes. So I am like, we'll see if there are any more tickets if you want to go.
Yes.
Because I love that show. I think it's so, so fun.
Cute.
Yeah. Yeah.
It will hit you on that note. Just so you know.
Yeah.
Imposters
yeah.
will hit that note for
yes.
you.
Yes. Okay. I'm down. I'm down.
Wow. What an episode, you guys.
I know.
We really hit it.
Thank you for coming on this National Wine Day journey.
Thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
Exactly.
Wow.
Again, if you have any stories at all or want to reach out or say hi, we are constantly grateful for the amount of support and messages that we receive.
It's amazing.
It really is amazing. It makes me very emotional.
It does make me emotional. Anytime we get a message from somebody, like today that we read, where we're just like,
I
love your podcast. It makes me, I take it with me when I jog. I laugh in public with other people. Like it is bizarre to me because I'm just like, people in other countries are listening to us on the regular. And like, I'm like, what?
Well, it just, and now I am getting emotional. Now I'm not just sick. It makes me emotional because, again, we're getting close to this year anniversary, and I take anniversaries very, like, seriously, but to take something that was, like, really painful in my life and get to make it something that is so positive and that we've created this, like, amazing group of people, it just means so much to me. It means so much.
I see people sharing their stories in our Facebook group, like their stories of like their dates.
They're sharing it with each other.
And they're talking to each other and they're like, girl, I know, me too. And it's like, it is something that like,
so happy.
It is like, I don't know. I don't want to sound like I'm constantly, as someone who grew up like very Christian and like you're supposed to be super humble and like I am uncomfortable with feeling like, oh, we did something cool.
Yeah.
But there is something to be said for feeling like we did bring people together in a way that makes me so happy. And like it doesn't. Of course, like would I love to do this? Of course, it's grown so much. You guys are going to be my bridesmaids. It's grown so much. And like, as much as I want to say like, you know, I would love for this to be my job and I would love to not do anything else and just be able to tour and do the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Like even if that never, ever, ever happens, the rest of it is so rewarding to me. Like I feel so rewarded just that people care and they listen and they think we're funny and they can relate and they can share their stories and it's cathartic for them.
Yeah.
That matters
to me.
Even
Dude Face in Australia who thinks our voices are annoying, but the stories are funny.
We saw you.
We agree.
I can sometimes not get through my own episodes.
I get it.
I'm like, my voice sucks. I get it. I do get it. You gave us 2 stars. Sir.
You didn't even have to marry this voice. Imagine poor Chris. My God.
I know.
Please reach out at myworstdatepodcast.com. We're eternally grateful and we will see you next time.
Cheers.
This is a Glass Box Media Podcast.